Vaginal Equivalents by Fake Plastic Lily, read by X-Man-Hater. Wei Wuxian, hi, Wei Wuxian, over here. Midway between considering the logistics of investing in a pet donkey to carry him to Gusu Lecture Hall for early morning academic sessions, Wei Wuxian halts in his tracks. He turns in the direction of the voice. From the other side of the road, Wen Ning hurries up towards him, satchel cluttering noisily at his back. Wen Ting follows behind him, hair perfectly coiffed and signature red lip perfectly in place even at 8:06 on a Monday morning. Wen Ning, what's up? He says, a little too patiently for someone who is already 6 minutes late for Monday Journal Club and still at least 3.5 minutes away from Gusu Lecture Hall. Sorry, you're probably late for rounds, Wen Ning says as he stops in front of Wei Wuxian. Wei Wuxian shrugs, not daring to look at the time on his phone anymore. So you know, I was thinking, since it is my... Here's the thing, Wei Wuxian loves Wen Ning. He's not sure when exactly they had become friends, but it probably had something to do with Wei Wuxian being a bit of a self-appointed schoolyard hero in primary school. Somewhere between intimidating bullies into leaving Wen Ning alone, the kid had taken to following him around everywhere, from shyly offering him half of his lunch at the school cafeteria, to sneaking him his sister's notes, to diligently bringing him coffee, as he dozed off regularly in the libraries during all-nighters in medical school. All these years later, Wei Wuxian could be forgiven for being fond enough of the second year at the veterinary department to indulge him unfailingly. After all, he's late enough anyway that a few extra minutes wouldn't matter. Go on, Wen Ning. What's up? It's, well, you wouldn't remember, but it's actually my birthday today. Oh, Wei Wuxian is an idiot. A constantly sleep-deprived, overly caffeinated third-year neurosurgical resident who does 24-hour call shifts 3 times a week, but there's still no valid excuse for forgetting an old friend's birthday, and he's an idiot nonetheless. So I was thinking of having a small party at my house this Saturday, was wondering if you'd be free. Oh, Wei Wuxian says. His phone buzzes and he glances down instinctively. It's Nie Huaisung. Where are you? Lan Tijin is here. 8:11 a.m. the clock on his lock screen reads. Fuck. I mean, of course, I'll come. Look, I'm late. Really, really fucking late. See you around? He shouts out the last few words as he breaks into a panicked run. Gusu Lecture Hall is entirely too complicated a structure to be allowed on the campus of a teaching hospital, he's always maintained. Who puts 5 fountains, countless flowering shrubs, and at least 20 marble statues to wind around on the way to a lecture hall? As he navigates the obstacle course-like path to the auditorium, he tries once again to remember which resident was due to present the research paper up for discussion today. Every Monday morning, they would have a session to discuss the latest research in neurosurgery, presented by a resident and chaired by faculty. Every resident would in turn be allotted a journal or specific area of the discipline to focus on, and they would have to describe and break down one of the most recent articles they could find under that. For a start, at least Wei Wuxian is sure it's not his own turn today. He's panting as he skids to a stop inches away from the entrance. Through the crack in the door, a voice floats out at him. Clear, low, measured. His heart sinks even before he's opened the door.
Corresponding to the results of the Japanese study from 2013, comparing outcomes with endovascular clot removal.
Of course, because this is just Wei Wuxian's luck, it's Lan Wangji's turn to present today. Lan Wangji is standing at the podium in front of the speakers, highlighting words with his laser pointer as he speaks. He's wearing glasses today, and Wei Wuxian ignores the stab of something that sets off in an area of his body it is too early in the day to deal with. He tries his best to slip into the nearest seat as surreptitiously as possible. He really does. Even Nie Huaisung, who is nodding off in the seat just in front of him, doesn't flinch. Lan Tijin definitely couldn't have noticed all the way from the front row where he is seated. Wouldn't have, unless... Later, Wei Wuxian consoles himself with the thought that at least he'd made Lan Wangji, stoic, icy, perfect Lan Wangji, lose his train of thought for 5 seconds. Somehow, inexplicably, from 50 feet away and below, Lan Wangji's eyes fall directly upon Wei Wuxian's at the moment he's reached the nearest seat and about to sit down. For it feels like an eternity, but is probably realistically only a fraction of a second, they stare at each other. Then, clank,
The laser pointer in his hand slips to the floor. Wei Wuxian is rooted to the spot, resigned to his fate. Eyes hone in on him from all around. He winces as he realizes the entire neurosurgery, neurology, radiology, and anesthesia departments are here. From the first row reserved for faculty, Lan Tijin cranes his neck behind, lips curling in distaste as he recognizes Wei Wuxian as the latecomer. He doesn't look surprised, which Wei Wuxian supposes is within reason. Meanwhile, Long Wangji has straightened up. His eyes find Wei Wuxian's again almost immediately. His face is as impassive as ever, but Wei Wuxian notes with some satisfaction the tiny details that almost anyone else would have missed. The single crease on the side of his light blue sweater. Cashmere, obviously. The barely 10-degree tilt of the left collar of his white dress shirt he's wearing underneath. The twin creases on his otherwise immaculately pressed beige linen slacks above his knees, from bending to pick up his laser pointer. The single long dark section of hair that has come undone from his neat bun to frame the side of his face. A sliver of tongue darting out to lick plush, puffy lips brings Wei Wuxian back to reality, and he takes his seat. Backpack laid on the desk in front of him, he crosses his arms, resting his chin on his hands, and watches Long Longji continue his talk as if nothing ever happened.
"Asian, you can't hide away from your feelings forever,"
he hears Yan Li say in his head and rolls his eyes. He's too old and tired for this anyway, whatever this is. It's been 20 years of it, so he may as well just go with it. His mind wanders as Long Longji continues to discuss the results of the study. That single lock of hair that has come undone from his bun is annoying him the more he looks at it. It falls straight, almost gracefully. What the hell? It's literally hair. Kissing the smooth line of his neck and past his collarbone. 18 years ago, that same lock of hair had come undone from 8-year-old Long Longji's ponytail, and it had been Wei Wuxian's doing. "Wei Wuxian!" little Long Longji had shouted at him from behind the schoolyard swings. Long Longji never called him that. Wei Wuxian had been happy just moments ago, Long Longji's white ribbon clutched in his hand, as his pretty hair spilt from his ponytail onto his shoulders and back. He didn't really know why, but something about his friend's hair hanging like that, and the tips of his ears turning pink, made his cheeks feel warm and his heartbeat faster. Maybe because it made Lan Chan look like a girl? He ignored the voice inside him that said, "Lan Chan doesn't look like a girl, though, even with pink ears and hair hanging loose over his shoulders and back. He still just looked like Lan Chan." That couldn't be true, though, because girls had long hair and were supposed to make your cheeks warm and your heartbeat faster. At least that's what Nie Huaisong said. Ugh, he couldn't wait till he was 9. Things would definitely make sense then. "Wei Wuxian," a voice hisses. Wei Wuxian blinks, and 26-year-old Nie Huaisong looks sideways back at him. "Stop sleeping," he mouths, holding his fan up in front of him. "Lan Wangji has been giving you the stink eye for the past 5 minutes." Wei Wuxian pouts. "Rude, can't he tell I'm overworked and sleep-deprived?" Nie Huaisong rolls his eyes at him and pulls out his phone. Moments later, Wei Wuxian's phone lights up. From Nie Huaisong, 8:28. "Heard LQR really gave Wangji a hard time while preparing this presentation." Wei Wuxian looks at Long Wangji's perfectly prepared slides, his fingers seamlessly moving the laser pointer to highlight the relevant parts he is talking about, voice calm and confident. "Long Wangji, given a hard time by a professor?" From Wei Wuxian, 8:29. "Sounds fake, but okay." From Nie Huaisong, 8:31. "So, looks like he suggested to LQR that they should recruit another resident to help with that study he's been doing. It's the big one, total highlight of LQR's career, which he's been planning for years. And Wangji's been doing all the work so far, but it's almost over now, so it's like, why ask another resident to pitch in now? There's barely any work left to be done. And you know how anal LQR is about his research. He doesn't want us common riffraff sullying his work. LMAO, he was mad. From Wei Wuxian, 8:32. "Lol, Lan Chan wanted another resident to help with LQR's research? Sishui? The kid is young, but maybe he wanted to give him a head start? Pretty sure he's the only one Lan Chan cares about besides his brother anyway. Aw, what a good dad." From Nie Huaisong, 8:33. "Pretty sure Sishui can't be the one since he's still just a medical student, you know." From Wei Wuxian, 834.
Who else then? Lol. Has Arlan Chan finally found love and is this his idea of courtship? Love me, I'll get you a spot on LQR's epic practice-changing research. Heart, can't say no to that arrangement. Winking face.
From Nie Huaisung, 835.
Dude, stop texting. Wangji is looking at you again.
From Wei Wuxian, 835.
Wow, I'm literally just replying to you.
Wei Wuxian peeks out over his backpack on the table and finds Long Wangji looking straight at him for a millisecond before averting his eyes the moment they make contact. It's entirely too early for any of this. Who starts academic sessions at 8 in the morning? Who made all these people wake up in time for this? Who allowed Long Wangji to wear glasses with that one lock of hair framing the side of his face and his lips all plush and red from all the talking he's been doing? Lan Tijin clears his throat. Long Wangji has stopped speaking. Thank you, reads the slide projected on the screen.
Wei Wuxian,
Lan Tijin calls out. There's a sense of inevitability about it. Realistically, he knew this was coming the moment he woke up and realized it was 7:43 a.m. Well then, here we fucking go.
Which were the significant primary outcomes of the study Wangji just discussed?
Wei Wuxian squints. Primary outcomes. He remembers Long Wangji's lips forming the words, can hear his voice entering his brain, even if he doesn't register it at the time. He parses the voice in his head and offers Lan Tijin a dazzling smile.
Let's see, he begins merrily and glances around at Long Wangji, keeping his eyes directly on him as he continues. There were significantly better outcomes with the surgical approach in terms of 21-day all-cause mortality, hospital stay, incidence of hospital-acquired infections, improvement of NIHSS indices at p-values for all-cause mortality.
Wei Wuxian lowers his gaze to Long Wangji's fingers, rewinding back to watching them aim his pointer at highlighted sections of his slides.
0.002,
he says with a triumphant smirk, looking back at Long Wangji's face. Impassive to the untrained eye, but to Wei Wuxian, those infinitesimally narrowed eyes, the tiniest flare of his nostrils, the slightest parting of his lips to exhale. Lan Wangji looked impressed, if a little exasperated, maybe a little proud? Well, that last bit was probably wrong, but it still sends a thrill down his spine and makes him want to keep going at any rate. Anything to make Long Wangji look at him a little longer with that expression on his face.
0.03 for hospital stay, 0.021 for hospital acquired. Enough,
snaps Lan Tijin.
Everyone get back to the wards. Rounds in 10 minutes.
Wei Wuxian lets out a noise of relief as he springs into action. He is the first to leap out of his seat, ready to slink out before anyone.
Wei Ying.
No such luck. Long Wangji is standing at the podium, looking blankly up at him. Wei Wuxian looks to either side, then back to him, mouthing, "Who, me?" When Long Wangji doesn't react, Wei Wuxian finally scratches the back of his neck, laughing awkwardly as he walks down the steps towards Long Wangji.
Lan Chan, he says as he approaches him. Sorry I was late today. I really did oversleep. It wasn't personal.
A stack of binders is unceremoniously shoved at his chest.
Wait, what?
I'm doing a retrospective study on outcomes of transphenoidal pituitary resection, an echocardiographic and sleep study indices with Dr. Lan Tijin. He wants you to enter all the data here.
Wei Wuxian balances the stack on his knee and pries open the first binder. It contains patient data, a lot of it, dating back to 2002. He flips the pages in escalating horror.
This, he squawks. They're handwritten.
Yes, says Long Wangji calmly. You need to enter them into a spreadsheet, then analyze the data, tabulate, complete with charts and graphs, and send them to Dr. Lan by Friday.
You, how dare you? I'm on call today.
Would you like to discuss the arrangements with Dr. Lan? He will be on his way to his office now.
Wei Wuxian gapes, mouth opening and closing like a goldfish, as Long Wangji slides his laptop into his monogram Dior tote and breezes past him in a cloud of Jo Malone Oris and Sandalwood TM. The rest of the day passes in a blur, as most call days do.
It's 7 p.m. when Wei Wuxian is scrubbing off in the theater and abruptly realizing he hasn't eaten anything since the handful of rice crackers he'd stuffed in his mouth in the morning from the stash Anli had brought him from her recent visit to Lanling to visit Jin Zixuan's family. Nie Huaisheng is waiting for him outside.
"That last case was such a pain to extubate," he says with a delicate shudder and a flutter of eyelashes the moment he spots Wei Wuxian. "Don't know what I would have done if the night shift guy hadn't come to take over."
"Waited 5 minutes longer to extubate him?"
Nie Huaisheng squints at him, then points finger guns at him and breaks into a breathy laugh. Wei Wuxian can't help laughing too. Nie Huaisheng, staying more than a second longer after his shift is officially ended?
"You're funny,"
Nie Huaisheng smiles.
"You know I am a firm proponent of the concept. Not my shift anymore, not my fucking problem. Cafeteria?"
Wei Wuxian loops an arm around his friend's shoulder, and they set off for the staff cafeteria. The cafeteria is empty save for two people Wei Wuxian is happy to see, and Zhen Zixuan.
"Xie xie,"
he shouts as soon as he sees Yanli sitting at a table between Zhen Zixuan and Qiang Cheng. He hurries up to them and sits down opposite his sister.
"Asian, you look tired,"
Yanli says, pushing her bowl of noodles towards him.
"What time did you get out of the theater?"
10 minutes ago,
Wei Wuxian pouts, dipping his chopsticks into the noodles and twirling them around.
"Xie xie, I've had such a tough day. You won't believe what happened this morning."
Qiang Cheng rolls his eyes.
"Stop being dramatic, idiot. Did Lan Tijin catch you napping in another seminar again?"
Wei Wuxian gives him a huff and clasps Yanli's hands, making his best impression of the teary-slash-pouty-faced emoji at her. Right on cue, Yanli almost visibly melts.
"Ah, Cheng, don't be mean," she scolds gently. "What's wrong, Asian?"
Wei Wuxian can almost feel the exaggerated eye roll from Jin Zixuan's general direction and pointedly ignores him.
"Lan Chan is making me analyze data for his study."
"What?"
says Tiang Cheng.
"What the fuck did you do this time?"
"What did I do? Why is everything my fault?"
Wei Wuxian says with a petulant whine, looking at Yanli.
"He was late to journal club this morning,"
Nie Huaisheng supplies, lifting his hands up in a placating gesture when Wei Wuxian directs a threatening look at him.
"Traitor, look, it was only 5 minutes.
"More like 20,
Nie Huaisheng mumbles from behind his fan. Wei Wuxian lets out a squawk of betrayal.
"Hush, boys. Asian,"
Yanli softens her voice.
"Were you up late again last night? Lan Wangqi probably wanted you to be there from the start of his session."
She exchanges a look with Qiang Cheng and smiles at Wei Wuxian, dimples forming at the corners of her lips.
"Besides, I'm quite sure it was Lan Tijin who is responsible for you having to do the boring part of the work. Still, it's an honor to work on one of his papers. He does tend to work only with his model students like his nephews. You, though, I wonder..."
She pauses, seemingly lost in thought.
"Bold of you to be ungrateful for Lan Tijin actually deigning to let you lay your paws on his paper,"
Jin Zixuan mutters from the side.
"Bold of you to think there's anything other than the fact that my sister's marrying you stopping me from punching you in the face right now."
"Hey now,"
Yanli says firmly, placing a hand on her fiancé's arm.
"Play nice."
"It's true, Long Longji worked really hard on today's presentation. He did stare a lot at the back seats at the start, you know."
Nie Huaisheng peeks out from behind his hand fan, eyes heavy-lidded, looking into the distance.
"Almost like he was looking for someone?"
Tiang Cheng rubs his temples.
"Not again. Can't believe you guys are still on your bullshit. It's been, what, 20 years? Xie Xie, do something before these morons turn my hair gray, please."
"What bullshit?"
exclaims Wei Wuxian.
"I know not what bullshit you claim I partake of."
Four pairs of eyes look at him in despair. Three of those pairs then fixate on the fourth. Yanli sighs.
"Asian, why do you think Lan Guangxi would be upset you didn't show up to his presentation in time?"
"Upset? He and his Dior tote looked like they were doing pretty okay this morning,"
Wei Wuxian says, crossing his arms.
"Okay, look at it this way,"
Yanli says patiently.
"What if you worked really hard on a presentation and Long Longji showed up late?"
"Late? Come on, Lan Chan and late are two words that do not go together."
Do you know him at all? The man wakes up at 5 a.m. every day. In the dead of winter, too.
He pictures Lan Chan rushing into class and sneaking into the back seat, white coat rumpled and collar askew. It's a funny picture. But he much prefers his Lan Chan, who he knows he'll find in a seat before he reaches the lecture hall himself for his own presentation every single time, face impassive through his whole speech, but listening carefully. His Lan Chan? Wait, what? Belatedly, he realizes his treacherous mouth has curved gently upwards and a small smile and his eyes are softened. He gives himself a shake. This is why he's known Lang Longji since he was 5 years old, but they've never really become best friends. He has always liked teasing him and liked knowing that Lang Longji can challenge him academically and that he can unsettle Lang Longji in ways no one else can, but class ends and they go their separate ways home and that's about it. Because he always gets the feeling there is something there, beyond the occasional jabs and the mostly one-sided banter, and the way Lang Longji has tolerated his rambles and teasing all these years, and how he has caught him looking at him sometimes with his eyes softer than he has ever seen them. But whatever that is makes his heart clench painfully and beat a million miles an hour, and that can't be good for you, can it? As a self-respecting neurosurgery resident, he can't ignore the symptoms of an imminent heart attack, can he? The others come into focus. Yanli is looking despairingly at him.
Ha, I don't know what's gotten into you guys, Wei Wuxian says. You're being so weird. Really, look at the time. Jin Zixuan, don't you have any axes to sharpen? Any nails and hooks to screw into your patients?
Jin Zixuan huffs a laugh.
What, before I have the honor to do up the screw loose in your head?
Oh, stop being children, will you? Says Yanli.
See, says Wei Wuxian triumphantly, you're acting like a child.
Asian, I meant you too.
Whoops, would you look at the time,
Wei Wuxian says loudly over his sister's voice, jumping to his feet.
Neurosurgery resident on call, can't be wasting time chit-chatting now. See you.
He jogs off towards the exit, waving exuberantly back at the four exasperated pairs of eyes on his back as he leaves. Name, gender, age, race, BMI. The words on the page bleed into each other as Wei Wuxian pores over them, fingers clacking at the keyboard as he types them up. The night is still young. He has taken a preliminary look at all the sicker patients in the ward, so he broadly knows what to expect for the rest of the night. But he wants to get some of the work for Lan Tijin's paper done before he takes more detailed rounds for the entire ward. His conversation with Lang Wangji earlier this morning has unexpectedly made him eager to actually finish the work by Friday, because it really does look like an impossible task and he wants to prove him wrong. He freezes mid-stretch as the door to the call room opens and in floats a mildly sandalwood lace scent that could only herald the entrance of one person. It's almost 11 at night. He wonders why Lang Wangji has been working in the ward so late.
Lan Chan, he says as Lang Wangji enters the room. Ah, Lan Chan, you really are cruel. I've been doing this for, 20 minutes already, and there's still so much left.
Dramatic, says Lang Longji.
Am I at least going to get credited when it finally gets published? He whines, half-jokingly, of course.
Lan Tijin would sooner play dubstep in the Operation Theater than name Wei Wuxian as a co-author in one of his papers. The acerbic reply he expects from Lang Longji doesn't come. So Wei Wuxian cranes his neck around to look at him. Oddly enough, Lang Longji is looking straight at him. There's a strange look on his face that Wei Wuxian can't quite name. He turns around at once and takes out his ridiculously expensive tote from his locker.
Dr. Lan will need,
he says at last, words coming rather stiff,
to be spoken to.
Wei Wuxian laughs, asking Lan Tijin to add his name to his cherished research.
That's a conversation no one would see him live to tell the tale of. You're funny, Lan Chan, but will you ever start using your sense of humor for a purpose other than roasting me?
Boring,
Lang Longji answers, and Wei Wuxian splutters in protest.
Bed 13 has some altered blood in his Ryle's tube. His vitals are stable for now, but I called my brother to get an endoscopy, and it was clear. I believe Tiang Chung is first on call in gastroenterology tonight. The patient is on pantoprazole infusion in case, but if anything else happens, you may need to call him.
Wait, hold on, says Wei Wuxian. 317? That's not even your patient. You should have told me. I would have taken care of it since I'm on call. Is that why you had to stay so late?
Long Longji looks for a moment like he wants to answer. Then he seems to decide against it, striding out with his bag without another word and clicking the door shut behind him.
Wei Wuxian straightens up from the edge of his last patient's bed, having perused the chart hung at the foot end. He twists from side to side, feeling a satisfying crack in his spine, and grins at the teenage boy lying with half his head bandaged.
"Looking good, Zhizhen. Anything troubling you?" "Your voice giving me a headache," Zhizhen groans, rolling the one eye that wasn't bandaged. "And you jumping around the ward from one bed to the other all night. You realize how much we dread your call nights? Maybe go home and catch some sleep. That'll make us all happy."
"Ah, now, don't be rude," his patient's mother says hurriedly, a look of embarrassment on her face.
"Aish, you kids are so ungrateful," Wei Wuxian gasps in mock horror.
"What he means is you need some rest," Zhizhen's mother smiles. "It's nearly 3 PM and you've been in the ward practically nonstop since yesterday. Even the nurses have been talking about how you don't sleep a wink on your night shifts."
"Yeah, when was the last time you even ate?"
Wei Wuxian jumps at that. Lan Xingyi comes up from behind him carrying a bag of IV fluid in his gloved hands.
"Seriously,"
he adds almost to himself as he comes into view of Wei Wuxian's face.
"You look like shit." "You kids just love bullying your poor Uncle Wuxian,"
Wei Wuxian wails, clutching his chest.
"Fine, fine, I'm leaving."
He spins around with a dramatic swoosh of his white coat and makes to leave. That is, till lights begin to flash and an alarm sounds out. Code blue, bed 323. Without a second's delay, Wei Wuxian springs to action. Before the first alarm stops ringing, he's already at bed 323. Long Longji is already there at the head end of the bed, starting to ventilate the patient with the bag. It doesn't look good. The patient is blue around the lips and at the tips of his fingers, and the ECG displays rapid, irregular rhythms with a heart rate well over 100. Lan Sishui is in position, performing enthusiastic chest compressions. A few other residents and nurses have gathered around, starting to load medications and review the patient's charts. Long Longji looks directly at Wei Wuxian.
34-year-old with TOF. Presented with right MCA infarct with edema and midline shift. Post-op day 2 was doing well with GCS-11 up from 6. Sudden onset desaturation with tachycardia. Wen Chao was the resident in charge.
Wei Wuxian can't help the scowl that forms on his face at the name, and he can tell that Long Longji shares his emotions, even if it wouldn't be nearly as evident to anyone else. All these years of knowing and watching Long Longji have made Wei Wuxian able to read the tiniest curl of his lip as the most vocal expression of disgust. Wen Chao was notorious, a callous, entitled brat who was only accepted into the neurosurgery program because his whole family was on the board of directors of the university. He had zero sense of responsibility, was never present in the ward, and always made his lackeys do any work that he deigned important enough to be done. Other residents had made it a point to review all his patients whenever they were on call, so that at least someone knew what the hell was happening with them. Wei Wuxian had seen this patient just last night during his shift, and he had seemed okay. But still, the cold clutches of guilt permeate his chest. What if he had missed something?
"It was all abrupt in onset,"
Long Longji says quietly, as though reading Wei Wuxian's racing thoughts.
"Seems to have been unavoidable. Suction was clear, ventilator functioning fine. Zhenling, get the echo machine bedside stat. Sishui, switch."
Wei Wuxian watches as Long Longji orchestrates the juniors effortlessly, having noticed Sishui's arms beginning to strain with the effort of his chest compressions, even as he debriefed him and formulated a plan of action. He turns to Sishui.
"Do we have a blood gas?"
"Here." Sishui pulls a crumpled strip of paper from his coat pocket and offers Wei Wuxian the blood gas report. Wei Wuxian goes over it, making quick calculations in his head. Meanwhile, Long Jingyi set up the echo machine bedside and presses the probe to the patient's chest.
"Apical 4, chamber view," Long Longji commands, and
Long Jingyi complies. Wei Wuxian moves over to Long Longji for a better view of the screen. As the chambers of the heart come into focus, pumping sluggishly, Wei Wuxian gasps and turns to look at Long Longji, just as Long Longji turns to look at him, eyes wide.
The right atrium, Wei Wuxian breathes, and Lan Guangji nods before he's even uttered the words.
What?
Says Lan Sishui quickly. Wei Wuxian turns to face the juniors. Dilated right atrium and inferior vena cava, elevated AA gradient on the blood gas, sinus tachycardia. It's a pulmonary embolism.
Oh, of course,
says Jin Ling, his eyes growing wide with dawning realization. He turns to Lan Guangji and Wei Wuxian.
We need to call cardiology.
It'll be too late,
Wei Wuxian says, looking at the monitor and shaking his head as the patient's blood pressure plummets.
Fine, call Wen Ting. Lan Chan, he adds with a meaningful look at Lan Guangji. We need to thrombolize him right now.
Wen Ting? Says Lan Jingyi. She's chief registrar. Do we really need to call her?
Wen Ting was a bit of a legendary figure around the Institute, one that ignited terror in new residents' imaginations. She was one of the most brilliant doctors the university had ever produced, and also one of the strictest. Stories of her tough love techniques to teach her juniors were notorious around campus, and were repeated year after year to strike fear into the hearts of newly joined residents.
Do as he says, Lan Guangji cuts in, to Wei Wuxian's surprise. He then turns to one of the nurses. Load to nectoplase, please.
Wei Wuxian inhales sharply.
Lan Chan, he said.
Lan Guangji really trusted him to do something as daring, almost unauthorized as that? Thrombolizing patients was the domain of cardiologists or pulmonologists, not neurosurgeons. But he is confident of the theory, as he knows Lan Guangji is too, and they have no time to waste. He watches as Lan Guangji gives him a tiny nod before turning to adjust the ventilator settings. The nurse hands Wei Wuxian the syringe, and he stares at it for a split second. Lan Chan really does trust him, doesn't he? It makes him feel equal parts warm and light, like he could do anything in the universe as long as Lan Chan just looked at him like that. He secures the syringe to the patient's IV catheter, looks up at Lan Guangji, and keeps looking into his eyes as he pushes the drug in slowly. He's almost too terrified to look at the monitor, but looking at Lan Guangji is easier somehow. Lan Guangji looks back at him steadily, only a few small tells that would be imperceptible to most people, speaking to how he is nervous too. The parted lips, the rise and fall of his chest, the smallest crease between his eyebrows. It's going to be okay, though, Wei Wuxian can't help feeling as the syringe clicks, indicating the drug has all been delivered. With Lan Chan here, trusting him and siding with him, nothing can really go wrong.
Wei Ying. Wei Ying. Wei Ying.
Is he dreaming? It's been years since the last time he had that kind of dream involving Lan Guangji. He was going through puberty, don't judge. Lan Guangji had just been there, conveniently lean and long-limbed with pretty hair and pretty golden eyes and long, long fingers. And also kind of a boring asshole, so don't get it twisted. He only helped him realize he liked boy-shaped people. That was all there was to it. Something brushes under his lower lip. Something that feels too solid, too real. Wei Wuxian's eyes flutter open. Lan Guangji springs away from him, standing up. Wei Wuxian is still too groggy to make sense of anything that is happening right now. But it is a fairly disconcerting set of movements from the ever-graceful Lan Guangji. His lips feel dry, so he licks them. Lan Guangji is watching him closely, and suddenly Wei Wuxian feels like he should look anywhere else but at him. He also finds with a touch of distaste that a crusty trail of what was probably dried saliva is coming from the corner of his lip. He looks down at his shirt. Did he drool all over it? It looks dry, surprisingly. Lan Guangji has his arms crossed behind him, looking stiff as a board.
Wei Ying, he says after a moment, you need to go home.
Shit,
Wei Wuxian mumbles, voice cracking. How long has he been asleep? He remembers looking at Lan Guangji over bed number 323 as his vitals stabilized after they thrombolized him, heart rate lowering just as his own limbs started to feel loose, eyelids drooping lower and lower, standing upright starting to feel harder and harder. He can't remember getting here, though. Into the call room, lying on the bed, blanket drawn up to his chin. He blinks, still struggling to get his bearings.
It's nearly 7, Lan Guangji says. Let me drop you home.
Wei Wuxian has been in the hospital for 34 hours straight. Why does he keep doing this again?
No, no, he says, shaking his head as the second part of Lan Guangji's statement hits him.
Ha, Lan Chan, I'm really fine. I'm not as delicate as that.
He slides his legs over the side of the bed. He can't recall taking off his shoes either. His socked feet hit the floor and he makes to stand up. Only for the room to spin around him and for him to stumble forward and sink right into Long Wangji's arms.
So, this is happening.
Wei Wuxian swallows and blinks up, straight into Long Wangji's eyes, golden brown and soft and ever so slightly wide, mere centimeters away from his. When did he even move to catch him? His arms are encircling his waist, their chests pressed together, and when he breathes, Wei Wuxian can feel the tiniest puffs of air against his lips. He realizes at this moment that he would be perfectly happy to flutter his eyes closed again like a cartoon damsel in distress, just to be able to sink deeper into Long Wangji's embrace. And the utter ridiculousness of that thought is enough to make him straighten up, gently pushing at Long Wangji's chest, rock-hard chest his traitorous brain supplies, till he is free from his arms.
Sorry,
he says with a laugh, one that sounds too loud and too forced even to himself.
Don't know what just happened there, man. You don't need to worry, though. I'll just call a cab.
He spins around, making a great show of fiddling with his phone as he books a cab.
Are you sure?
Long Wangji asks quietly.
Yeah, says Wei Wuxian, definitely sounding too cheerful. Anything to get Long Wangji out of the room and for his wildly racing heart to finally be able to slow down.
He should get an EKG, maybe schedule a Holter. Definitely get his thyroid checked. Because his cheeks feel hot and his stomach feels like it's in knots and his heart won't calm down and he needs to get to the bottom of it. To make things worse, his cab cancels. The next one is 20 minutes away. Fuck rush hour. Fuck Long Wangji for his stupid sandalwood-scented stupidly expensive cologne. It's making his head feel foggier by the minute.
How far away is it?
Presses Long Wangji. Did the guy really have no social life? Wait, he already knew the answer to that and it was a resounding no.
20 minutes, Wei Wuxian mumbles finally.
Nothing could prepare him for the way Long Wangji strides over, slinging his backpack over his shoulder, manhandling Wei Wuxian by the waist till he was attached to his side, and dragging him off with him in a single smooth motion. Well, that does it. Wei Wuxian watches helplessly as his feet move of their own accord side by side with Long Wangji's, hips knocking against the others every so often. They make it out of the call room, down the blessedly empty corridor, and into the lift. Wei Wuxian has still not spoken a single word. That's new, he realizes through the haze. He doesn't think he's spent so much time in silence ever before. Tiang Cheng would be proud. Long Wangji doesn't let go of him even in the lift, holding him pressed to his side, instead of letting him lean against the wall. His hands feel big and warm against his waist, and he doesn't think he'll ever be able to feel anything besides the ghost of Long Wangji's fingers under his ribcage ever again. Wei Wuxian glances at him, but he's looking straight ahead with an unreadable expression on his face.
Lan Chan,
Wei Wuxian whispers, and he doesn't know why he says his name, because he clearly has no idea what comes next. Lan Wangji ignores him, tightening his grasp on Wei Wuxian as the lift comes to a stop and they find themselves in the car park. Wei Wuxian is whisked away again, stopping only when they reach Lan Wangji's unmistakable snow-white Bentley. Wei Wuxian tries to extricate himself with a pain of something that feels like regret. He ascribes this to the lack of sleep, obviously. Why else would he want to stay pressed up against Lan Wangji longer than was absolutely necessary? Lan Wangji is having none of it, though. He hitches Wei Wuxian closer to him and walks him to the passenger side door. Opening the door with a click on his key, he tosses his and Wei Wuxian's bags into the back seat first. Then he helps Wei Wuxian inside with gentle hands, cradling his head so he won't knock it against the door. Wei Wuxian sits in stunned silence as his door is closed. Long Wangji crosses over to the driver's seat in a couple of long strides and gets inside. He watches dumbly as Long Wangji leans over, long fingers finding the seatbelt, skin left tingling where they skimmed his chest as he is strapped in. Long Wangji starts to drive, and immediately Wei Wuxian is drawn to his fingers draped over the wheel as he lazily turns out of the car park. His eyes travel up Long Wangji's bare arm. His sweater today is cream in color, and he has rolled it up to his elbows. The fine cashmere stretches wonderfully against his chest, and for a long moment Wei Wuxian is transfixed by the way his chest rises and falls. Lan Wangji swallows then, The defined bob of his Adam's apple drawing Wei Wuxian's attention to his neck. He realizes in some faraway corner of his brain, labeled Reason, in bold neon letters, that he is shamelessly checking him out. Checking Lung Wangji out. The letters don't seem to have the intended effect. He can psychoanalyze that later. Right now, he can't look away from Lung Wangji's neck, the sharp line of his jaw, and his unexpectedly adorable nose. He wonders vaguely what would happen if he leaned over and booped it. His chest fills with so much warmth at the thought that he finally has to look away. He finds he needs to do something, just to keep himself occupied so he wouldn't do or say something stupid. So he reaches over to the music system and presses play. Stirring notes of a single violin fill the car, and Wei Wuxian notices Lung Wangji grip the wheel tighter than he was before, face going rather pale.
"What song is this?"
Wei Wuxian asks curiously. The tune is completely unfamiliar, but it's beautiful. Whoever is playing the music seems to be pouring their heart and soul into it. As the song surges to a passionate, haunting crescendo, Wei Wuxian almost gasps at the intensity of emotion it makes him feel. Unbidden, a memory buried deep inside his heart crawls its way to the surface. He is 17, and his foster parents have found the stash of gay magazines under his bed. He has long forgotten the cruel words, the disappointment on his foster father's face, and the resounding smack of his foster mother's palm against his cheek. It's been a few years since they passed on, and he has made his peace with them. But he remembers the sobs of his sister from the next room and the way Tiang Cheng watched him silently leave the house through his cracked open bedroom door, pale and shaking. He remembers walking aimlessly down the streets till he found that his feet had carried him to a familiar place, school. There was a strange calmness that had come over him as he walked through the corridors he knew so well, now bathed in moonlight. It had been a while before he realized there was a violin playing from somewhere on the upper floors. The song was gorgeous, to say the least. Wei Wuxian had felt his raging emotions calm down, and the emptiness in his heart fill with something entirely new. At once, he felt like he had to know who was playing the music. Running upstairs in the direction of the music, he had found himself at the door to the music room. There, in the light of a solitary lamp, had stood Lung Wangji, playing his violin. He had noticed soon enough, and when the music stopped and Lung Wangji turned to look at him, he had blurted out, "Don't stop."
"Wei Ying," Lung Wangji had said, stepping towards him, eyebrows knitted in concern. "What's wrong?"
Wei Wuxian had walked closer, sinking onto a stool next to him.
"Just keep playing," he had said. "Please?"
Lung Wangji had faltered only a moment before nodding, eyebrows still furrowed. He had taken up his bow and resumed playing then, eyes never leaving Wei Wuxian's face. 9 years later, Lung Wangji avoids his gaze. One hand on the steering wheel, he reaches for the stereo and stops the music, and never answers Wei Wuxian's question. The next morning, Wei Wuxian is sliding out of bed after an unusually long night's rest, ready to go to work, when an email from their neurosurgery office lights up his phone. "Request for leave of absence registered at 5:04 a.m. Kindly mail the reason for your absence with a copy of a medical certificate enclosed within 1 week of joining back. We wish you a speedy recovery." "Wait, what?" He calls the office. A sleepy voice answers.
"Hi, you've reached neurosurgery. How may I..."
"It's Wei Wuxian. I didn't register a request for leave of absence. What's going on?"
"You did, though?"
Wei Wuxian can hear keys clacking on the other end of the call.
Here you go. There's the request." "Oh, but wait."
"Yeah?"
"You didn't send it."
"Precisely what I was saying," Wei Wuxian rolls his eyes. "So I'll be coming in at..."
"No," the secretary cuts him short. "You didn't send the mail, but Lung Wangji did."
"Lan Chan?"
"Yeah, here it is. Lung Wangji at gusulan.com. Sent at 5:04 a.m. today."
"Of course it's him. Who else would be sending emails at 5 in the fucking morning?" He huffs, half to himself.
Lung Wangji must have sent the mail within 4 minutes of waking up, he realizes. He finds himself half amused, half endeared. He hangs up and calls Lung Wangji.
"Lan Chan," he says when he answers. "What were you doing 4 minutes after waking up today?"
There is a pause. "Wei Ying, you're not going to work today."
"I'm fine, Lan Chan."
You passed out last night. Twice.
Details, details,
Wei Wuxian says airily. In any case, it's done. I'll tell my uncle in person before rounds.
Lan Chan, he splutters.
Wei Ying, Long Wangji's voice is firm. Go back to sleep.
Before Wei Wuxian can protest any further, the call ends. In the evening, Wei Wuxian grudgingly accepts the day off had done him a world of good. He had gone back to sleep for a full 7 hours and woken without an alarm at 2 in the afternoon, making up for the deficit from his last shift. After lunch and a couple of hours of studying, he had even gone for a 10-kilometer run around the neighborhood. He starts feeling antsy as the evening progresses, missing his usual routine of rounds, outpatients, surgery, and patient records. By 8 o'clock, he caves and scrolls down his contacts to Long Wangji's number. Hi, back from work? How are my patients? 10 seconds later, his phone rings. It's Long Wangji.
Lan Chan, he answers.
How are you?
Alive and kicking, Wei Wuxian says.
He leans back against the headboard of his bed, swirling around the glass of Emperor's Smile in his hand.
Tell me about my patients.
It's still your day off, Long Wangji replies. You'll see your patients tomorrow.
Lan Chan, stop being mean.
He kicks his heels playfully on the mattress.
At least tell me how Zishan's physiotherapy went.
Long Wangji sighs.
It went well. His power in his left thigh has improved to 4 out of 5.
That's great,
Wei Wuxian smiles to himself.
Is he still being an overdramatic brat, though?
More than ever.
Wei Wuxian laughs.
How was your day, Lan Shan?
His voice sounds relaxed and soft through the phone. Wei Wuxian wants him to keep talking just like this.
Wei Ying, we still have to finish Dr. Lan's data analysis.
Here you go, ruining the mood again, Lan Chan,
Wei Wuxian whines. He ignores the twinge in his chest at the word we. It makes him feel like they're a team, even if that was probably the last thing Long Wangji would willingly do. But the work was supposed to be his sole burden to bear, wasn't it? The traitorous voice in his head pipes up again. So why would Long Wangji offer to share it?
I am going to dictate the data to you, Long Wangji goes on. Get your laptop.
I thought it was my day off,
Wei Wuxian says with a petulant sigh, but he leans over to plug in his laptop.
So bossy.
I'm going to start now.
Wait, wait,
Wei Wuxian sighs, opening up the spreadsheet he'd started entering the data into.
Okay, go.
Patient ID 20190013567. Male, 28. Date of surgery, 27th June, 2019. Diagnosis, microadenoma.
Wei Wuxian types as Long Wangji goes on, lying flat on his stomach with his laptop in front of him, legs folded up at the knee, ankles crossed and swinging from side to side in the air. He takes a swig of his drink from time to time. It's mindless work and his brain wanders. Lan Chan's voice is low and steady, just as always. He thinks about Lan Chan, probably sitting straight upright at his desk. He wonders if he still has that bunny-printed throw over his bed. His heart clenches at the thought. So many things change, but somehow through them all, Long Wangji has always stayed the same. Never quite best friends, never quite rivals, but just there, making things interesting in class because he was the only other person at his level. His equal in every way. Challenging him, questioning him, disagreeing with him, often arguing, but ultimately inspiring him to do better.
Lan Chan,
he says out loud suddenly without thinking,
what are you wearing?
There is a long pause. Wei Wuxian feels like his head is spinning. He must be drunk. That's clearly the only reason those words left his lips. Because so what if he only had half a drink so far? There's no other conceivable explanation for saying that out loud. And definitely not for still waiting for a reply without rescinding his words like they were a ridiculous, laughable mistake. And it's not that kind of question, either. He only wants to have a clearer picture of Lan Chan in his head as he talks to him. He is bored and he wants something to think about. That's all there is to it. After what feels like an eternity, Long Wangji speaks.
Ridiculous.
There is another long pause after that. Wei Wuxian hears him breathe in and out through the phone and doesn't feel the urge to break the silence.
Lan Chan,
Wei Wuxian pouts.
What is he actually doing? So selfish. I'm wearing my black Avengers tee and red gym shorts. See? That wasn't so hard.
A beat. White shirt and blue pants, Long Wangji replies stiffly. Then, before Wei Wuxian could wrap his head around the fact that Long Wangji had answered him, he continues. Patient ID 20190013592. White shirt and blue pants, huh? Wei Wuxian suppresses a snort. That was about as specific as calling Nie Huaisung's eclectic collection of hand fans just fans, and not categorized by year, artist, design, material, and place of origin. Well, if that's all Long Wangji would give him to work with, that's what he'll work with. He thinks about Long Wangji seated at his desk in his white shirt and blue pants, perhaps wearing glasses. He's come home from work, so maybe he has one button open? Maybe. Just maybe. Two? Wei Wuxian feels a warmth in his chest spreading over, down to the pit of his stomach. The warmth doesn't stop there. It permeates, spreading its tendrils relentlessly lower. His phone beeps. Nie Huaisung has texted him. Long Wangji's name in the preview of the text grabs his attention, so he opens it at once. From Nie Huaisung at 2011. What's going on with you and Long Wangji?
What do you mean? Wei Wuxian replies.
From Nie Huaisung at 2013.
Are you serious right now? The whole of Ward 3A can't stop talking about it. The number of times I had to hear from other people talking about how Long Wangji princess carried my friend to the call room, I swear to God. Princess carried? I thought I was your friend.
Wait, what? Hold on. He never capitalizes his texts. Shit was definitely getting real. From Nie Huaisung at 2014.
Stop playing, dude. He literally caught you as you pretty much fainted in front of that patient you revived. And then he just put his hand on your butt and flipped you up into his arms like you were an oversized pancake, and apparently it was super effortless, and people were saying Long Wangji must definitely lift.
Open mouth emoji. Wei Wuxian has to throw the phone a few feet across the bed. Long Wangji's voice continues from the speaker, still diligently dictating. Wei Wuxian had stopped typing long ago. Long Wangji held him as he fell. Long Wangji placed his hand on his ass. Long Wangji lifted him into his arms with ease. Long Wangji princess carried him into the call room. Long Wangji took off his shoes and tucked him into bed. Why can't he remember any of it? He grabs his phone in despair and opens Long Wangji's Instagram. He bites down a frustrated whine as he scrolls through the random aesthetic shots of the city and occasional rabbits. Why can't he just post cute selfies and thirst traps like a normal person? He finds a few photos scattered in the midst, mostly artsy shots taken from slightly inconvenient angles, but they'll have to do. He singles out one photo of the profile of his face, one of his right arm, traversed by shadows, and one photo taken from above of him looking at the camera with his top two shirt buttons undone. He pictures it immediately, his previous vision of white shirt, blue jeans, Long Wangji now several times clearer, to include himself in his arms. He closes his eyes, tries to picture Long Wangji's hand on his ass, opens his eyes, scrolls to the picture of his arm. God, he has the longest fingers. He draws himself up on his elbows to bring himself closer to the phone. In doing so, his pelvis drags against the mattress and he comes to a mortifying realization. He's hard, and holy fuck, that friction felt good. He is drunk. That is a perfectly valid excuse for what he is about to do. He pointedly ignores the fact that his bottle of Emperor's Smile is nearly full, lying forgotten at the side of the bed, and pulls down his shorts. Long Wangji's voice floats in through the speakers. He isn't taking advantage, okay? Well, maybe a little. Long Wangji never has to know, though. Wei Wuxian is just a little drunk and horny beyond belief. Just for a few minutes more. Wei Wuxian palms his ass, eyes closed, thinking about Long Wangji holding him there in front of the entire ward. Imagines Long Wangji pinching his skin and looks back at his own hands, stroking himself. He is admittedly proud of his ass, and he bites down a moan as he thinks of Long Wangji taking his time, massaging the perky round curve of his ass. Longlongji's voice is low and steady as ever, and Wei Wuxian imagines how it would feel laced with an edge of lust. Pleasure pools deep inside him, the thrill of Longlongji on the other side of the phone line multiplying it manifold.
Shameless, Longlongji has told him so many times, but this time Wei Wuxian hears it with a self-indulgent edge of desire and maybe a hint of sadism. In his mind, he splayed out across a fully clothed Longlongji's lap, ass in the air and exposed for him to play with. The image is so arousing that he nearly starts to rut against the mattress at once. Impressively, he reaches for his phone, breathes, "Got to go, Lan-chan, let's do the rest tomorrow," and tosses it back down. Even as he grapples for the lube, he keeps in the bedside drawer with the other hand.
"Lan-chan,"
he allows himself to moan at last as he coats his fingers liberally and strokes around his opening. In his head, Longlongji strikes the skin of his ass with a resounding slap.
"Ah, Lan-chan."
He slips in a finger through the tight ring of muscle, whining lewdly as he does. He wonders if the noise would turn Longlongji on. In his mind, it does, and Longlongji manhandles him till he's lying on his stomach and enters him in one smooth stroke. He pictures Longlongji kneeling over him, restraining his hands behind his back as he pounds into him. He slips in another finger, scissoring them both inside of him, thrusting back and forth wildly as the Longlongji in his head wrecks him thoroughly. His other hand finds his nipples, pinching and twisting them between his fingers till they're almost painful.
"Lan-chan."
He thinks of Lan-chan holding him when he stumbled, and Lan-chan gently strapping on his seatbelt. Maybe he would lick his nipples in apology, kissing up his chest to find his lips. All this, and the thought of Longlongji kissing his lips, is what brings him closest to the edge. He adds in a third finger now, then a fourth, fucking steadily into himself as he imagines being kissed by Longlongji. Long fingers holding his face, soft plush lips moving tenderly against his own, all the while with Longlongji hammering into him, mirroring his own fingers as they reach deep inside, grazing an area that lights his insides on fire with every stroke. The memory of Longlongji holding him when he fell, his face close enough to his own that he could feel his breath on his lips, bursts suddenly into his head as clear as the real thing. He grabs his cock with his other hand, tugging wildly for a few minutes until he finally arches up into his hand, shouting,
"Lan-chan!"
as he sees stars behind his eyes and comes all over his mattress. Slumped over his elbows, the first thing he feels is loss, the loss of his finger slipping out from inside him, the low following that intense, uninhibited high. The reality that Longlongji isn't here in his bed will never be here in his bed. He blinks away the sudden wetness behind his eyes and gets up to walk to the bathroom. Stupid. Stupid. Like most other things, Wei Wuxian decides he will deal with this in the morning. He doesn't notice the screen of his phone glowing steadily all the while, flashing Lan-chan and 4623 below, just before it abruptly goes, "Call ended," and then dark. Morning comes, and unsurprisingly, Wei Wuxian does not deal with it. He makes his way to work and takes his morning rounds. He notices his patients look at him with concern and starts to smile more. He hopes it reaches his eyes, but with the way Sishui and Xingyi look at him, he suspects it doesn't really. Longlongji is on an ICU shift today, blessedly, making up for Wen Chao's absence as usual. Nie Huaisung doesn't press him for more information either, after a moment of studying him from behind his fan and deciding that he'd let him talk when he was ready. And so, as the day goes on, Wei Wuxian manages to fold up the incident from last night into a tinier and tinier corner of his heart, till he can almost pretend that he is okay. He's accompanying a patient out of surgery and into recovery that afternoon when he hears rolling wheels and clatter of what sounds like heels hurrying down the corridor beyond the next turn. He turns the corner and finds Wen Ting running, face contorted with worry, by the side of a trolley being rushed towards the theater. "Wen Ting?" Wei Wuxian calls out in surprise.
"Wei Wuxian,"
she shouts and runs towards him.
Wen Ning, he..."
She is hyperventilating, tears flowing thick and heavy down her cheeks. Hey, calm down," says Wei Wuxian, reaching out for her shoulder. "Can you tell me what happened?" The trolley is wheeled past him, Wen Ning lying with his face drained of color, already intubated.
The monitor shows a sluggish but steady heart rate. He turns back to Wen-Ting, cold fear gripping his heart.
I don't know,
she says, usually calm and sharp voice now broken and ragged.
I just found him lying on the floor when I came home after my night shift. It's been just 15 minutes since I found him. He was unresponsive, gasping. Bradycardic. Wei Wuxian.
She gasps, eyes wide and manic, gripping the front of his shirt.
You have to do something.
Wei Wuxian pats her head and says,
I'll do my best, Wen-Ting. You need to stay strong. Any previous medical history? Any signs of trauma?
No.
Wen-Ting says, and she lets out a broken sob.
I'm only strong because of An-Ning.
She whispers and buries her face against her hands lying on Wei Wuxian's chest.
Please, not my baby brother. I can't lose my baby brother.
She whimpers as her tears overflow, drenching Wei Wuxian's shirt. Wei Wuxian draws her close, letting her cry. His mind is racing already, parsing through the possibility. Suddenly, he hears footsteps round the corner. It's Long Longji. He stops dead in his tracks the moment he sees them, and before Wei Wuxian can react, his eyes grow dark and his face twists with an unreadable emotion.
Lan Chan,
he cries, but he has already retraced his steps and disappeared beyond the bend.
Sorry,
Wen-Ting says, face falling when she realizes she's cried all over Wei Wuxian's shirt.
Sorry, I'll just...
It's okay, Wei Wuxian says.
Come with me, he says, with a hand on her back to steady her as he leads her toward the theater. Sishui is waiting at the entrance, phone in hand.
I was just about to call you,
he says with a sigh of relief.
We have a new patient.
Wei Wuxian nods.
Make sure she's okay, will you? He says, helping Wen-Ting to a seat. And scrub in when you can.
He rushes to the trolley, assessing the vitals displayed on the monitor.
500cc ringer lactate in already, second ongoing, Jingyi tells him. Tox screen negative, blood gas unremarkable besides some carbon dioxide retention. He's probably been unconscious a while.
Any signs of trauma?
None, Jingling answers, peeling off the gloves he had just used to examine Wen-Ning.
Pupils? Wei Wuxian asks. Responsive but sluggish. Eye position?
Wei Wuxian makes a noise of frustration and goes to check. Wen-Ning's pupils are glassy and unmoving, displaced towards his nose. He asks the next question because he's dreading the answer, couldn't bear to see it with his own eyes.
GCS.
No one answers him for a while.
GCS, he says again, louder, and the juniors flinch.
4,
Jinling answers at last, not making eye contact. Wei Wuxian feels his heart sink to the floor. He rushes to Wen-Ning's side, rubs his knuckles deep into his chest, praying for any movement. Anything to suggest there was still hope. His fists move the slightest amount inward, more from the way Wei Wuxian is rocking the trolley with his attempts to wake him. He realizes his juniors have been kind to tell him it's 4, when really the complete lack of movement makes it more like a 3, the lowest score possible on the coma scale. In other words, he is probably brain dead already and there is no way back now. He looks up in despair at the juniors, willing them to say anything that would change the terrible reality of what he could see before him. Then he suddenly sees Long Wangji over the top of the interns' heads as he walks into the room.
Lan Chan,
he finds himself saying, voice breaking. Long Wangji walks up toward him at once, the interns making way for him.
Lan Chan, Wei Wuxian whispers. Do you know it was his birthday 2 days ago? He told me in the morning himself, but I was late for class, and I was so distracted I forgot to wish him happy birthday even then. What do I do, Lan Chan?
Lan Wangji pries him away from the trolley, palms warm against his shoulders. Then he coolly turns to the ventilator, adjusting it to supply 100% oxygen through the tube leading into Wen-Ning's windpipe before abruptly switching the mode. The ventilator stops giving breath to Wen-Ning, and the others gasp collectively.
Is that... But Long Wangji...
Everyone in the room watches with bated breath as Wen-Ning lies motionless. Then, miraculously, the screen on the ventilator machine comes to life.
There's a breath,
Wei Wuxian gasps, clutching Long Wangji's arm. He points at the sawtooth-shaped line traced by the machine.
Wen-Ning just took a breath.
Long Wangji looks at him and nods. We need to hurry, he says to him and resets the ventilator to the original mode. Sizhui, Jingyi, Jinling, stabilize him.
He's negative for the apnea test, so we still have time. Get a CT scan stat and prep him for surgery. And read up the Lancet paper from July on how patients in a negative apnea test have been salvaged with surgery, even if the GCS is lower than the current acceptable cutoff to take a patient up for surgery. Then he takes Wei Wuxian by the hand and leads him out of the room and breaks into a run. Wei Wuxian runs with him, hand firmly in Long Wangji's, watching him as they fly past corridor after corridor and up the stairs. There he is again, Long Wangji, standing by his side when no one else would. He doesn't realize they've reached Lan Tijin's office until they come to a halt in front of his door. Long Wangji knocks.
Enter, says Lan Tijin from within.
Long Wangji opens the door, pulling Wei Wuxian in to stand by his side. He doesn't waste any time.
Dr. Lan, you may have heard of the latest admission.
Lan Tijin's sharp eyes travel from Long Wangji to fall on Wei Wuxian. His face settles into the usual disgruntled expression he wears when he sees Wei Wuxian.
Yes, he says. Wen Ting's brother, the veterinary student.
He's possibly hemorrhaged. We ordered a CT scan. His GCS is 4, but he is Dalzai negative. Negative also for apnea tests, so there's no evidence his brain stem is herniated yet.
Lan Wangji, roars his uncle.
Wei Wuxian flinches and looks sideways at Long Wangji. He has bowed his head immediately, face devoid of emotion.
You take me for a fool? Trying to distract me into allowing a GCS-4 onto my OT table?
Uncle, Long Wangji starts, head still lowered.
Silence, shouts Lan Tijin. My God, Wangji, look at you. You've never argued like this before. And it's him again, he says, lips curling as he looks at Wei Wuxian. First you beg me into allowing him to take part in my study, and now this.
Beg me into allowing him? Wei Wuxian's heart thumps painfully against his ribs. Was Long Wangji the one who made Lan Tijin allow him to take part in his study, even if it was just to do the boring data parts? Did he really mean he would talk to Lan Tijin himself to let Wei Wuxian be credited on his paper?
There's a new study, Long Wangji presses, still almost bent over double. Lancet, this July. Wen Ning reached the hospital only 20 minutes ago and the window period is an hour. They found favorable results with surgery if done within an hour independent of baseline GCS.
Out,
Lan Tijin says, shaking in anger.
Before I strike your name off my paper, too.
Long Wangji stiffens and then stands up straight. Then he bows again deeply.
Please feel free to do so, he says, and he takes Wei Wuxian by the arm and leads him out of the office.
Long Wangji doesn't let go of him as they walk back down the corridor in silence. Wei Wuxian's chest hurts unbearably to look at him, this incredible, wonderful, darling man who really would risk it all for him. But he wills himself to think straight. Then it hits him.
Lan Chan, he says, and inexplicably laughs. It's a ridiculous idea, so utterly out of whack that he can't help it. The abandoned orthopedics OT.
Long Wangji gives him a look, a wide-eyed look that suddenly morphs into something softer. He doesn't dare to think it, but it seems almost fond. And then the most miraculous thing happens.
Says Long Wangji.
Really? Says Wei Wuxian. Well, I mean, there's nothing stopping us, is there? It's still functional after all, it's just been replaced by the one in the new orthopedics block.
Nie Mingrui.
Wei Wuxian winces. Nie Huaisheng's older brother is the youngest chief of orthopedics in the history of their hospital, and also one of the most terrifying. Of course, every resource belonging to the department is under his name.
Well?
Wei Wuxian shrugs, laughing nervously and scratching at the back of his neck. He doesn't really have to know, does he? I'm pretty sure he has more pressing matters to attend to.
Lan Chan, you know you want to.
Long Wangji sighs. Then he nods. Minutes later, they're back where they've left Wen Ning and the juniors.
CT scan, Wei Wuxian orders as he strides in, and Sizhui points promptly at the console where the images are open.
Wei Wuxian sits on the chair in front of him, peering closely at the screen, Long Wangji standing next to him. There is bleed, which comes as no surprise. It is surprisingly not that large, but there is a large amount of edema fluid accumulated around it, causing pressure to build up inside Wen Ning's brain and leading to his unconsciousness. Wei Wuxian looks up at Long Wangji. They nod at each other. Wei Wuxian gets to his feet, briefly scanning the room to make sure he can trust everyone inside. Then he tells his stunned audience,
Wheel him into OT7 on the third floor. Call Nie Huaisung and tell him to induce anesthesia. Lan Chan and I are scrubbing in.
OT7? Is that really... Can we actually... Long Wangji?
Do as he says, Long Wangji orders, and a warm feeling blooms in Wei Wuxian's chest. Come on, he tells Wei Wuxian, and they make their way to the OT.
It's almost evening now, and the last rays of the setting sun bathe the corridors in warm golden light as they walk to the abandoned wing of the hospital. Wei Wuxian is still all too aware of Long Wangji walking next to him, a solid, unwavering presence, but now somehow laced with an edge of something different. Something that seems dangerously close to what had terrified him before. Whatever it was that made his heart squeeze painfully in his chest and race a million times faster. He wonders briefly what it would be like to just step off the precipice.
Lan Chan,
he says, suddenly remembering.
What did your uncle mean when he said you begged him to let me take part in his research?
Lan Wangji almost falters in his tracks, but he does not answer.
Was that true? Lan Chan, why would you...
Long Wangji remains silent so long that Wei Wuxian almost gives up on ever getting a reply.
Then he says, it was your idea.
What?
Our first year, you had a patient with a pituitary microadenoma. Dr. Lan was angry when he found out you had ordered a sleep study for the patient on follow-up because he thought it was unnecessary.
It takes Wei Wuxian a moment.
But that was so long ago,
he murmurs, almost to himself. Long Wangji really remembered? Lan Tijin had grown even angrier when Wei Wuxian had tried to justify himself, explaining why he thought there could be a possible correlation with the success of the surgery.
Months later, he asked me to review the existing literature on the subject. I found some small studies from other countries that had positive results. That's when he decided to start doing this project.
Even so, Lan Chan, asking Lan Tijin to let me take part in his research is...
Wei Wuxian stares at him.
It's suicide.
It was the right thing to do.
Long Wangji looks calmly back at him.
Dr. Lan must have felt the same too, which is why he eventually relented.
Lan Chan,
Wei Wuxian says. He feels oddly flustered. That Long Wangji would remember a passing altercation during rounds a year ago, then risk his uncle's wrath only to give Wei Wuxian what he felt he deserved. It's too much. Being alone with him right now is too much. He quickens his pace. Jin Zixuan is waiting outside the old operating room with a key. He gives Long Wangji a once-over and a sorry shake at the head and ignores Wei Wuxian entirely.
The theater is actually still sterile and perfectly usable. We get it fumigated regularly,
he says as he hands Long Wangji the key.
Some of the anesthesia station machines are pretty old, but I'm sure Huaisen can find a way to work around that.
His expression shifts to a more pitying one, and he sighs as his eyes travel from Wei Wuxian and back to Long Wangji.
I just hope you know what you're doing.
Long Wangji nods and takes the keys from him. Once they have changed into their scrubs and washed up in preparation for surgery, Long Wangji comes to sit next to Wei Wuxian in the doctor's room. Wei Wuxian is staring at his hands. He can feel Wen Ting's shoulder shaking against his palm as she sobbed in his arms.
Lan Chan, he murmurs. Can we really do this? You know, if this doesn't work out, I don't know how I'll ever look Wen Ting in the face again. Good thing I'll probably be thrown out of the program, though, so I won't have to break the news to her. I'll tell them you were just in the wrong place at the wrong time, and that you and the juniors had nothing to do with any of this, of course, but...
That won't happen.
Lan Chan, play me a song. Your violin playing always calms me down, you know.
Lan Wangji sighs and pulls out his phone. Moments later, a haunting, passionate melody on a violin begins to play. This is the same song that played in the car that day, Wei Wuxian breathes. It cascades and builds steadily to fill him with a rousing, heart-stirring emotion that makes him feel like the music is speaking real words of love and longing to him. Long Wangji is looking at him, eyes filled with something Wei Wuxian can't quite name. Is it sadness? Wei Wuxian tears his eyes away because all at once that expression makes his heart clench painfully, excruciatingly so.
What's the song called?
He asks, desperate to see anything other than that terrible, awful emotion on Long Wangji's face.
Who is it by?
He thinks he knows the answer before the words leave his lips, before Long Wangji answers briefly, I wrote it.
What is it called?
he presses, consumed suddenly with the need to know. Abruptly, the music stops. Lan Chan gets up and stows his phone away in his bag.
Let's review the CT scans, he says.
Things start happening then, and Wei Wuxian springs into action. This is his element, and it is a welcome relief from the intense pain coiling in the pit of his stomach. The juniors wheel Wen Ning into the theater, IV access and leads in place. Nie Huaisung is in the background, somehow orchestrating the entire preparation while still managing to huff and sigh, and motion most indiscreetly to Wei Wuxian about how he was definitely coming back as an angry ghost to haunt him if his brother Nie Mingjue found out about them using his old operating room. Wei Wuxian and Long Wangji review the scans. Long Wangji trails a long finger down the length of the oval area, delineating the hemorrhage in Wen Ning's frontal lobe. Wei Wuxian makes some quick calculations.
It's around 13 cc in volume, he says, and Long Wangji nods.
As they map out the surgical approach, shoulders bumping together as they pore over the images, the painful coil in Wei Wuxian's stomach begins to unfold again. He wants to bend over double because the ache is so stark and real he physically cannot take it. He wants Long Wangji. He wants Long Wangji just like this, next to him, challenging him and listening to him and working out a middle ground. He wants Long Wangji, soft hands taking off his shoes and fixing his seatbelt for him. This must be what lay beyond the precipice, and he thinks maybe it doesn't terrify him anymore. He thinks he has wanted Long Wangji for a long, long time.
Wei Ying.
Yeah,
Wei Wuxian replies. He looks over at Wen Ning's still form, chest moving only from the breath supplied by the ventilator.
Let's go.
Wei Wuxian takes the lead. Long Wangji stands by him, retracting the bone and muscle as Wei Wuxian probes inside. Wei Wuxian has never operated with Long Wangji before, being from different surgical teams within their department. But they work seamlessly from the very beginning, observing each other and wordlessly communicating, handing instruments to each other without needing to ask.
Wei Ying, says Long Wangji.
Wei Wuxian knows what is coming next. Long Wangji is holding out a suction catheter. Wei Wuxian looks at his unmoving face, steels himself, and nods as he takes the catheter to evacuate the clot in Wen Ning's brain. And just like that, it ends. The operating room erupts and claps from the interns. Wei Wuxian looks at Long Wangji, catheter held loosely in his hand as waves of relief wash over him. Long Wangji takes the catheter from him and lets Wei Wuxian crumple where he stands, shoulders drooping as though a giant weight was just lifted off them. Wei Wuxian watches as Long Wangji begins to swiftly suture the wound with deft hands without a word. They leave Nie Huaisung and the interns to finish up the rest, clean up, and take Wen Ning to the ICU for post-operative monitoring. Wei Wuxian tosses his gloves, mask, and surgical mask into the waste bin and heads to the restroom. At the back of his mind, he knows he has forgotten to bring his change of clothes inside with him, but a small voice in his head tells him it'll be fine. He strips off his scrubs once he is inside one of the cubicles and turns on the shower, temperature set to the hottest setting. He groans, propping himself against the cool tiles as he arches his back, and feels the streaming jets of water batter against his sore muscles in the most satisfying way. He is in there for a long time. Long enough for Nie Huaisung and the interns to be long gone with Wen Ning, operating room scrubbed clean of most of the evidence of today's activities. He dries himself and wraps the towel around his waist, because he had forgotten to bring his clothes inside. He wonders if Long Wangji is waiting outside. Well, that couldn't be helped, could it? Excitement pools low in his belly as he exits the cubicle. Sure enough, Long Wangji is sitting at the desk, finishing up the operation notes. He's changed into a cream polo shirt and blue jeans and is freshly showered too, long hair wet and hanging loosely over his shoulders. He looks up when Wei Wuxian walks out. Wei Wuxian stands still at the opposite side of the room from Long Wangji, who was frozen in place. From the swiveling chair he is sitting on, he stares at Wei Wuxian, but he cannot quite meet his eyes. No, Wei Wuxian notes with a fresh jolt of electricity shooting down his spine. Long Wangji's eyes are on his chest. Glancing down, he is glad he didn't dry himself too well. Was that a conscious or subconscious decision? He can't bring himself to think any more about it because there is a drop of water making its way down his left nipple, and Long Wangji seems to be transfixed by it.
Lan Chan,
he whispers hoarsely as Long Wangji's eyes widen ever so slightly as they travel lower down his abdomen. He wonders if his voice sounds as needy as he feels. He is shocked by the way he craves Long Wangji now, would do anything right now in a heartbeat to feel Long Wangji on him, against him, inside him, around him. Long Wangji turns abruptly and swivels the chair around. Wei Wuxian is immediately met with a sense of loss as the heat of his gaze that had seemed to be branding his skin, marking him even from so far away, leaves him suddenly. And that just won't do, he decides. He walks up to Long Wangji, noting how the tips of his ears have turned pink. Did he do that to him? He is struck with an almost childlike curiosity as he reaches out and touches it, impossibly endeared.
Wei Ying,
Long Wangji says, voice sounding strained. Wei Wuxian tells himself it's the adrenaline. They successfully operated on Wen Ning together. It gave him a rush, and he's high on the adrenaline. It can have physiological effects on the body that are almost close to being drunk, after all. So that is all this is. He takes Long Wangji's hand. It's big against his own, his fingers longer and slimmer. His ears are still pink. What else could Wei Wuxian do to make him turn pink in other places, he wonders. He strokes Long Wangji's palm with his thumb, pleased to hear a strangled gasp escape Long Wangji. He plays with his fingers, twisting them around between his own, massaging his knuckles. Then he suddenly pulls his hand up by the wrist, leans forward, and puts the tip of his index finger in his mouth. Long Wangji is breathing faster, he notices with delight as he suckles the tip of his finger lightly. He keeps his eyes directly in contact with Long Wangji as he starts to lap at the base of his finger with his tongue. Shameless he truly is, like Long Wangji has told him so many times. And he would do so, so much more just to see him blush and writhe and lose control on him. Lan Chan, he breathes again, and his voice seems to trigger something in Long Wangji. His eyes squeeze shut and he suddenly jerks his hand back away from Wei Wuxian. The simple motion makes Wei Wuxian feel like he is suddenly a million miles away. He watches as Long Wangji gets up, pushes past him, and grabs his bag. The line of his mouth is pressed tight, but his eyes are heavy with some inscrutable emotion that Wei Wuxian cannot put a name to, but he feels like he mirrors in his heart. In moments, he has strode towards the door and walked out, leaving Wei Wuxian colder and emptier than he can ever remember feeling. Wei Wuxian waits on the bench outside the pediatrics block, thinking about nothing and everything. His phone hangs loosely from his fingers. He has swiped his phone open, scrolled to Long Wangji's contact, finger hovering over call at least 6 times now. He's lost his nerve every time and clicked his phone off. Asian, a voice calls from behind. Wei Wuxian turns and finds the only person he wants to see right now hurrying up towards him. Yanli sets her bag down on the bench and sits down next to Wei Wuxian. Her eyebrows are creased with worry. What's wrong? She asks. I tried to come as soon as I got your text. Zizhuan told me the surgery went well. It did, says Wei Wuxian. He allows himself to flop his head down on her shoulder. Here in her arms, he can pretend everything is okay, even if it's just for a moment. Yanli doesn't ask, just cuddling Wei Wuxian closer to her side with her arm around him and resting her chin on his head. She is soft and warm as always, and Wei Wuxian can feel his confused, racing thoughts start to slow down at last.
Xiexie, he murmurs. Am I an idiot?
Yanli laughs at that, the sound like bells chiming.
Depends on the context.
Wei Wuxian burrows his face deeper into her shoulder.
What's that, Asian?
Wanted to ask you something, he whispers.
He feels like he's 8 years old again, asking her if it was true that Santa Claus wasn't real.
Can I?
Of course, always.
How do you know you like someone?
He lifts his head to look at her as her eyes widen in surprise.
I mean,
he says hurriedly. Then he sighs and looks down at his folded hands in his sister's lap.
I mean, like, really like someone. Like them so much it kind of scares you. Oh, Xiexie.
He hugs her arm tightly and rests his cheek against her.
I'm too old for all this. Let's just stay like this for a while.
Yanli doesn't move for a long moment. Then she shifts and pats his head.
It's never too late, you know, ASEAN. And, okay, let's.
Wei Wuxian.
He jumps. He thought he was hiding well enough. He really did. He tumbles out from behind the bush he was squatting behind, scratching the back of his head.
Lan Xichen, he says, chuckling nervously. What brings you here?
Wang Ji is my brother, as you may be aware, answers Lan Xichen, a twinkle in his eye.
Of course,
says Wei Wuxian, laugh fading out awkwardly.
I'm more interested in what brings you here, says Lan Xichen, to this particular clump of bushes. Walk with me.
Mortified, Wei Wuxian pulls out a cobweb from his hair and joins Lan Xichen on the cobbled garden path leading to Long Wangji's building.
Apologies for being direct, says Lan Xichen after a minute. But I must ask, has anything happened between Wang Ji and you?
Only me deciding I suddenly want him after 20 years of knowing him and briefly throwing myself at him?
Why?
Wei Wuxian asks instead. Lan Xichen sighs and gives him a pitying look. Wang Ji doesn't have a lot of friends, you know. He fixes his gaze on the path ahead, lost in thought.
He is respected, admired, and celebrated by many, but most never bother to look beyond his academic and other achievements and get to really know him.
True, but it's their loss, Wei Wuxian thinks to himself.
What does that have to do with me, though?
Suddenly, Lan Xichen looks a little sad. Then he appears to come to a decision, nodding to himself.
Can I show you something?
Wei Wuxian nods. He has no idea what is going on, but he is too curious to back out now.
Come with me.
He follows Lan Xichen as he takes them to the car park of the building. They pass several cars till they stop at a familiar white Bentley, Long Wangji's. Lan Xichen pulls out a key from his pocket. The doors click open.
Don't worry, he says with a small smile. I only borrowed it briefly. Please, take a seat.
Wei Wuxian slides into the passenger seat. There is no chance Lan Xichen is secretly a psychopath about to kidnap him, is there? He always seemed so well-adjusted. Lan Xichen gets into the driver's seat. He reaches for the music system and presses a button. The CD player slides out.
CDs? In this decade? Only Long Wangji, Wei Wuxian thinks with a touch of fondness.
Lan Xichen takes out the CD and looks at it with a smile. Then he hands it to Wei Wuxian. It's really old from the looks of it. The generic store label is yellowed with age, mostly peeled off. But over the surface, clear as day, is a title etched in with black felt-tip pen. Wang Xian.
Wang Xian?
Wei Wuxian feels his heart screech to a halt. When it starts again, it beats at the speed of light.
Wang Xian?
He touches the CD and traces the letters ever so carefully.
How old must it be?
Wang Xian. Long Wangji and Wei Wuxian. Wordlessly, he slides the CD back into the player. Then he presses play. For the third time this week, stirring, aching notes of a violin start to play. It's the song that had played when they were in this very car, and then again when he had asked Long Wangji to play him a song to calm him down before operating on Wen Ying. The song, he now realizes, Long Wangji had written for him all those years ago.
Wei Wuxian, comes a quiet voice through the jumble of thoughts racing through his head. He turns to look at Lan Xichen. I think you don't realize the true extent of the power you hold over Long Wangji. As much as he cares about you, you are also probably the only person in the world who can truly break his heart.
I should go,
Wei Wuxian decides. He ejects the CD again and takes it out. Looks around at Lan Xichen, who nods. He opens the car door and steps outside. Wei Wuxian stops in front of the door to Long Wangji's penthouse apartment. The door is sensible and wooden, not unlike what most people see Long Wangji as. But Wei Wuxian knows better. Somewhere on the other side of the door, there happens to be a fluffy rug with pink bunnies printed all over it. He has no clue what he is going to say, but he knocks. Within moments, he can hear soft footsteps approaching the door. He thinks about what Long Wangji was doing just now, maybe sitting on his couch with his legs folded under him, poring over study notes. Thinks about Long Wangji making himself a cup of tea. Thinks about Long Wangji doing the dishes, a cloud-patterned apron tied around his waist. His heart clenches at the thought of him doing every mundane, everyday activity, surprising him with how intensely he wants to know him, in all of those quiet moments, too. Long Wangji opens the door. He is wearing a plain blue t-shirt and slim gray joggers. Wei Wuxian notes with a pang of fondness the rag tucked into the waistband of his joggers. Had he been dusting? His warm golden brown eyes widen when he sees him. Then, just as suddenly, Long Wangji slams the door shut on his face. Wei Wuxian gawks at the door for a good few seconds. Then he bangs again.
Lan Chan, he shouts. Can we please talk?
He wonders briefly if rich people doors even allowed sound to permeate through it all. At any rate, he is definitely not going down without a fight, he thinks, squinting menacingly at the door that separates him from Long Wangji.
Lan Chan, you can't do this. You're not allowed.
He holds up the CD and waves it, fully aware Long Wangji can't see him.
Don't make me come back here with the boombox. You think you can just compose a song years and years ago and record it on a fucking CD and have the nerve to call it?
The door opens. Long Wangji is still there, looking mildly panic-stricken.
Wangxian,
he finishes quietly, still holding the CD up in the air.
No swearing in the foyer, Long Wangji says stiffly at last, breaking the silence.
He opens the door imperceptibly wider, and Wei Wuxian takes that as an invitation to come inside. The door clicks shut behind him.
I'm going to ask you a few questions, he says.
Long Wangji nods. There is a vaguely defeated look on his face.
When,
Wei Wuxian says quietly, was this? He holds up the CD. Long Mengji shifts his gaze to a spot above Wei Wuxian's shoulder.
7th grade.
13 years, Wei Wuxian inhales, fingers clenching into fists. 13 fucking years.
Why?
He bites out.
Why did you?
Long Wangji does not reply for a long time. Wei Wuxian squeezes his eyes shut, not sure if he dreads or craves to know the answer.
The Junior Science Olympiad,
Long Wangji says at last. He is still scrutinizing that faraway spot above Wei Wuxian's shoulder.
The masked ball after the award ceremony.
Wei Wuxian remembers. It was the summer he and Long Wangji spent together in Japan, representing their country for the International Junior Science Olympiad. He remembers the two of them being the youngest ones there among hundreds of students from all over the world. They had grown apart a little during middle school, and before they left, Wei Wuxian had complained at great length to Tiang Cheng and Yan Li about how he would be having to spend his first summer as a teenager with boring Lan Chan and a bunch of internationally acclaimed nerds instead of raising hell at home.
Aren't you forgetting you're one of those internationally acclaimed nerds yourself?
Tiang Cheng had asked, rolling his eyes. But to his surprise, Wei Wuxian found he had fun. Sure, Long Wangji wasn't exactly helping him smuggle alcohol into their hotel room or going skinny dipping with him at midnight. But he didn't say no when Wei Wuxian nudged him during a particularly boring laboratory session and half-jokingly suggested they sneak out to Akihabara to try their luck at the arcades. There, when Wei Wuxian won a bunny plushie and offered it to Long Wangji while grinning ear to ear, he had taken it. And when Wei Wuxian had dragged him into a Purikura booth and held his fingers up in a V-sign for a photo, he hadn't scoffed and moved them away. They had a masked ball on their very last day, just after the award ceremony where both had won gold. Wei Wuxian had lost Long Wangji sometime between the two events, and he hovered around amidst the older kids with his mask covering his eyes, finding himself feeling bored for the first time in a long, long time. He had wondered briefly if Long Wangji had been the one making the trip less boring all this time, and promptly shuddered. There's no way that could have been the case. He was Wei Wuxian, and he could keep himself entertained, damn it. He had snuck into a corner within view of the bar, calculating his odds of securing a drink for himself without being identified as a 13-year-old kid, when all of a sudden a figure had appeared before him. The figure looked to be around his age, only slightly taller than himself and dressed in a white suit with clouds embroidered on the blue thread down the lapels. He wore a mask over his face.
Before Wei Wuxian could form the faintest idea of what was going on, the figure had grabbed him by the front of his dress shirt and pressed their mouths together. It was Wei Wuxian's first kiss, and very possibly the masked figure's first, too. Wei Wuxian had stood in stunned silence as he was kissed clumsily, noses and teeth bumping awkwardly. Then, as suddenly as the figure had come to him, he had withdrawn and seemingly disappeared into thin air. Wei Wuxian doesn't recall much more of that night. He remembers wandering around aimlessly, finding himself hours later back at their hotel room, where Long Wangji was asleep on the bed next to his, thinking about his anonymous kisser's long fingers and soft but insistent mouth, and the faint scent of sandalwood that he could feel still lingered around him. Or was he confusing him with Long Wangji now? He had gone to bed then with a jumble of thoughts of a faceless boy with a firm chest and long legs and beautiful hands and long pretty hair. "That was you," Wei Wuxian breathes. He feels like he had known all along somehow, but squashed the thought to a corner of his brain so he would never have to think of it again. Up until now. "You kissed me at the masked ball all those years ago." Long Wangji nods, his eyes lowered. "I didn't ask," he says quietly. "It was your first, and I have regretted it ever since."
"So you just decided on your own that I was never going to want to kiss you myself and went off to compose an angsty song on your violin?"
Wei Wuxian shakes his head.
"Meanwhile, there I was, having a literal wet dream on the bed next to you. My first one. About you. The very next morning. And you never took responsibility."
Long Wangji looks stricken.
"Lan Chan, I think we may have both been idiots,"
Wei Wuxian goes on with a rueful smile.
"In fact, I think we may just be the ultimate human form of Kiboom taking off clownwig.jpg.
Long Wangji only stares at him, eyes wide and lips slightly parted. Wei Wuxian takes a step towards him. It almost happens unawares, so wildly does he feel attracted to him right now. Then he pauses.
"That was years ago, though,"
he says out loud, half to himself as cold, pure terror grips his heart.
"Lan Chan, could you possibly still?"
"Always have,"
Long Wangji replies immediately.
"We'll always want you, Wei Ying."
"Lan Chan, I..."
Wei Wuxian jumps and glances down at his phone. There's a flood of messages pouring in all of a sudden. He reads the first one. It's from Sishui.
"When Ning woke up..."
He lets out a scream and holds up his phone for Long Wangji.
"Lan Chan, do you see this? When Ning woke up..."
"What?"
Long Wangji grabs the phone from his hand and they stare at the message together. A fresh message rolls in on his lock screen. It's from Wen Ting.
"Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Lan Chan," he whispers. His eyes feel wet, but he thinks it can't be possible to be happier than he is right now. He saved Wen Ning with this ridiculous, idiot, wonderful boy that he wants more than he has ever wanted anything in his life before. And this idiot wants him back. So he does what seems like the next logical step. He flings his arms around Lan Chan's neck and kisses him full on the mouth. Lan Chan is warm and firm and wonderful against his body, and his lips are soft and plush. Wei Wuxian presses closer against him, kissing him enthusiastically for a few perfect, perfect moments, till abruptly Long Wangji places a hand on his shoulder and gently pushes him away till he is at arm's length.
"Wei Ying,"
he exhales, face suddenly serious.
"I'm in love with you."
He says it like it's a warning, like if Wei Wuxian takes one step forward, there will be no going back. Wei Wuxian giggles. This is really the big scary thing he had been terrified of all these years? Long Wangji's face almost starts to fall at his reaction, so he goes quiet for a moment. Then he says,
"I love you too, Lan Chan. I think I've loved you for a really long time. I'm an idiot, but so are you, so it's only fitting we deserve each other. Now that we've established that, I swear to God, if you don't kiss me right now..."
Wei Wuxian never has to complete that thought, because finally, finally, Long Wangji takes a step forward and grabs Wei Wuxian's face in his hands. With an excruciatingly gentle look in his eyes, he leans closer and kisses Wei Wuxian. At first, Long Wangji kisses him like he does most other things, measured and careful. As he presses long, closed-mouth kisses against Wei Wuxian's mouth, He tips his head back for better access, till Wei Wuxian has to grip onto his shoulders to hold himself up. Then he parts his lips, kisses growing wetter and sloppier, tongue lapping at Wei Wuxian's mouth. Wei Wuxian can't hold back the moan that escapes the back of his throat as he opens his mouth for Long Wangji to kiss him deeper and hotter. Long Wangji kisses him with his whole body, hands roaming down his back to settle above his hips, bending him backward as far as he can with Wei Wuxian remaining upright. He kisses him slowly and thoroughly, like he has thought of this many times before in many different ways, and now that he has the chance, wants to do every one of those things to him in painstaking detail. Wei Wuxian tips his chin up as he's kissed well into oblivion, till a particularly lewd move involving Long Wangji sucking on his tongue has his knees buckling and fingers scrambling for purchase on his shirt. Long Wangji's hands slip lower with a completely unnecessary squeeze of his ass on the way, and when they reach below, he suddenly hitches Wei Wuxian up into his arms with one hand. Supporting him at his shoulder with the other hand, he walks him toward the kitchen counter, with Wei Wuxian's legs around his waist, continuing to kiss him messily. When Wei Wuxian is deposited on top of the kitchen counter, Long Wangji steps between his legs till they are chest to chest. Wei Wuxian tightens his grip around Long Wangji's shoulders as the kisses grow wilder and harder. When Long Wangji finally pulls away, Wei Wuxian catches a brief glimpse of him before he starts to kiss the line of his jaw. He looks focused, eyes bright and cheeks flushed and hair askew, and the look in his eyes sparks something new, unfamiliar, feral in Wei Wuxian. "Oh, Lan Chan," he starts to mumble as Long Wangji sucks at a spot below his jaw. "Want you so much. Kiss me harder there. Want everyone to know you want me." He reaches for the top button of his shirt, but as he goes to undo them, Long Wangji swats his hand away and replaces it with his own. The next thing he knows, the front of his shirt has been ripped open, buttons flying in all directions. "Lan Chan," Wei Wuxian gasps, a thrill of pleasure blooming in his stomach at the knowledge that he wants him too much to spend 5 seconds unbuttoning his shirt. Long Wangji runs long fingers over his back and sides, leaving bruising kisses down his chest and soothing them over with gentle licks. "Take me to bed, please." Long Wangji lifts him up again, propping him up with both hands on his ass and his legs looped around him, this time kissing his neck as he walks him towards his bedroom. Wei Wuxian is too turned on to notice the change of scenery till he's laid down on the pristine white sheets of Long Wangji's bed. Long Wangji bends over him, kissing him on the mouth again. As they kiss, Wei Wuxian suddenly reaches behind him and finds the white ribbon he uses to tie his hair up into his usual ponytail. With a firm tug, he releases it. Long Wangji pulls away from the kiss, his long hair cascading down over his shoulders and around them, as though shielding them from the rest of the world. Wei Wuxian gives him a dazzling grin, which doesn't last long. In a swift motion, Long Wangji has snatched the ribbon from his hands and tied it around his neck before he can even tell what's happening. Wei Wuxian stares up at Long Wangji, momentarily at a loss for words. He is looking at him with an oddly satisfied look on his face. Wei Wuxian turns his head and finds a mirror on the wall directly in front of him. It's an erotic sight, with the white ribbon tied like a choker around his neck, as Long Wangji looks down at him like he's his last meal on earth. "Lan Chan," he babbles as Long Wangji resumes kissing down his chest, lips finding his nipples. "Look at me, all wrapped up with a bow just for you. Do anything you want to me. Do everything to me." He gasps, back arching upwards in a smooth bow as Long Wangji sucks his nipples, first one and then the other, till they stand firm and erect and excruciatingly sensitive. Fingers curling in Long Wangji's hair, he jerks his hips upward in stuttering motions as he licks and suckles sloppily at them. Long Wangji surges up to kiss him again with a dazed expression in his eyes. "Wei Ying," he breathes against his lips as Wei Wuxian feels his hardness bump against his thigh. "Want to feel your cock?" Wei Wuxian goes on, seemingly incapable of stopping. "God, Lan Chan, you feel so big. I'm drooling at the thought of putting you in my mouth. Please, I need you." He traces fingers down Long Wangji's stomach to the waistband of his joggers. When his fingers graze Long Wangji's hardness, he eagerly maps out the length in his hand. Pushing at Long Wangji's shoulders, he flips them over, shimmying down till he's eye level with Long Wangji's cock.
Lan Chan, you're so big,
he says as he pulls down Long Wangji's joggers and underwear in one go, letting his cock spring free. He probably should be embarrassed by the things he finds himself saying, but he can't seem to be able to stop, and he's also too horny to care.
Won't be able to think about anything else ever again but your cock.
Wei Wuxian grips him at the base, skimming his fingers up the length and fondling the tip. He strokes him a few times, then lowers his hand to cup his balls and presses a kiss to the tip.
Wei Ying,
says Long Wangji, and Wei Wuxian notes with no small satisfaction the edge of panic in his voice. Massaging his balls lightly, he licks a long, slow stripe up the underside of his cock and descends upon it, taking it as deep as he can. He looks up at Long Wangji, who is propped up on his elbows, head thrown back with his eyes closed and mouth forming an O as he hums around his cock, bobbing his head up and down. He makes a lewd slurping sound as he goes deeper, lips stretching around the thickness and tongue messily working the shaft all the while.
Lan Chan,
he mumbles, moving up to suckle the tip of his cock, speaking in short bursts as he lets him slip out of his lips with a pop before taking him in his mouth again.
You're so thick and long and big. Want you and me so badly, but I don't know how you'll fit.
That seems to trigger something in Long Wangji.
No talking with your mouth full,
he grunts and grips Wei Wuxian tighter by the hair, hauling him closer by his neck and kisses him hot and open-mouthed.
Wei Ying,
he says, pulling away even as Wei Wuxian, drunk from the kisses, whimpers petulantly and tugs his collar in an effort to get him back on his mouth again.
Wei Ying, the other day, when I called you to dictate the study data.
What are you talking about?
Wei Wuxian mumbles distractedly.
Why aren't you kissing me?
Did you touch yourself?
That breaks Wei Wuxian's daze. His face feels impossibly hot suddenly with embarrassment. And maybe a touch of excitement, too.
How did...
You didn't end the call. You should check how long the call lasted.
You heard the whole thing?
Long Wangji doesn't answer, and he doesn't need to. Wei Wuxian thinks about how wantonly he had moaned his name and how Long Wangji had heard all of it, and inexplicably feels more turned on than ever.
Wanted you too much,
he whispers, looking at Long Wangji through heavy-lidded eyes.
Heard that you carried me princess style. Thought about your hands on my ass in front of everyone.
Show me,
Long Wangji says, and the command sends another jolt of electricity up his spine.
Show me exactly what you pictured.
Wei Wuxian sits back on his heels, feeling like he could come untouched just from the thought of what he is about to do. Rolling his shoulders, he slips his torn shirt off. Then he tugs off his trousers and underwear and tosses them both to the side. Long Wangji closely watching his every move, lingering on his cock, standing red and erect against his abdomen. He thinks about doing this slower, on Long Wangji's lap, perhaps with some carefully chosen music. Maybe another time, he thinks. Right now, he's too horny to bear not touching Long Wangji. He moves closer into Long Wangji's lap, kissing his mouth and down his neck. He is acutely aware of being completely naked while Long Wangji is fully dressed, and that only turns him on more.
I thought, he breathes into Long Wangji's ear, thought about being naked, spread out on your lap as you played with my ass.
He watches the long, smooth column of Long Wangji's throat shift as he gulps, Adam's apple bobbing up and down. Then the very next moment he finds himself being flipped over easily and manhandled onto his stomach into Long Wangji's lap. Wei Wuxian turns his head to find the mirror again. He finds his reflection staring back at him, hair disheveled, lips kissed fiery red, lying face down across Long Wangji's lap with his ass pointed to the air. It's such a lewd image that he can't help his hips from stuttering forward, rutting into Long Wangji's thigh. That is, until Long Wangji grabs a handful of his ass and squeezes it, causing him to yelp in surprise.
No touching yourself till I tell you you can,
Long Wangji says, giving Wei Wuxian's ass a light experimental smack.
Didn't know your family made such dirty rules too,
Wei Wuxian bites out, half irritated at how calmly Long Wangji could still speak. Half turned on at the attention being given to his ass.
Just me,
Long Wangji answers.
Lan Chan, and you have the nerve to call me shame. Oh,
he cries as a finger circles his entrance ever so lightly. Long Wangji reaches with his other hand for something by his bed and retrieves what appears to be lube. Slathering it liberally over Wei Wuxian's entrance, he stares at the way the gel pools around the tight opening for a long moment before collecting it with his fingers and probing deeper. Wei Wuxian throws his head back and gasps as the first finger enters him.
Lan Chan,
he says as the finger plunges slowly in and out, infinitely better than in his dream, but still far too little for what he wants right now.
More, please.
A second finger enters him, fucking him steadily and scissoring till he arches his back, desperate for more.
Lan Chan, Lan Chan,
he babbles over and over again.
Stretch me out. I'm ready for your cock. Look at me opening wide only for you.
He feels himself wanting things he has never wanted before. The magnitude of his desire to be completely and thoroughly wrecked by this man hitting him like a freight train. He realizes at this moment, through the haze of lust clouding his brain, that he would do or say pretty much anything to provoke Long Wangji to the point that he would do him exactly the way he craved. And Long Wangji does not disappoint. By God, does he not disappoint? He has his eyes narrowed in rapt concentration as he penetrates him with a third finger, then a fourth, fucking him relentlessly and grazing that spot that makes Wei Wuxian's head loll backwards and eyes roll towards the back of his head as he sees stars.
Lan Chan, want your cock in me?
He somehow manages to moan.
I think I'll die without your cock inside me stuffing me up.
He doesn't need to ask again. Long Wangji cuts his words short, manhandling him easily onto his back, clambering on top of him and reaching for his bedside table again to retrieve a pack of condoms. Wei Wuxian sighs as Long Wangji's fingers leave him, and he fumbles for a moment to roll the condom over his length. It's unexpectedly sweet, the way his eyebrows furrow and his fingers tug and pull as he struggles to get it on, and Wei Wuxian's chest suddenly bursts with affection. Lifting his hand, boneless and limp now from the stimulation, he brushes the back of his finger down Long Wangji's cheek.
Take off your clothes, he says. Want to feel you on me?
Turning his head to press a kiss into the back of Wei Wuxian's hand, Long Wangji swiftly shucks off his shirt and joggers. Wei Wuxian admires the firm lines of his body, pale skin flushed red all over, till he bends him over again and they are finally skin to skin. When he manages to get the condom on at last, he grips both of Wei Wuxian's hips and bends to kiss him.
Wei Ying.
He exhales against his lips once Wei Wuxian is sufficiently too kiss-drunk and distracted to feel the initial sting and enters him. Wei Wuxian has never had a man inside him before, but he is certain no amount of experience would have prepared him for this. It's not pain, not quite pleasure yet, but even if he can't name it, he knows it's more than he has ever felt. Even with Long Wangji's length halfway inside him, he feels like he's been turned inside out, connected to him so completely that he cannot tell where he ends and Long Wangji begins.
Wei Ying,
Long Wangji says, voice sounding strained but reverent.
Wei Ying.
He bottoms out, and suddenly he is everywhere, inside him, over him, and around him. But Wei Wuxian also feels more aware of his own body and being as he gives all of himself up to him. He grips Long Wangji by the arms, eyes fluttering open to see him looking down at him with so much tenderness that he feels like he could be blinded by it.
Lan Chan,
he whispers, once the sensations become all too much.
Lan Chan, move.
Long Wangji pulls out and pushes back in, and Wei Wuxian can't hold back a cry. Long Wangji repeats the motion with smooth, almost languid strokes as they grow accustomed to the feeling of being connected so intimately. He folds Wei Wuxian's legs back to angle his thrusts better, and suddenly, with a more powerful stroke, he hits an area that makes Wei Wuxian arch his back and curl his toes against Long Wangji's broad back.
Lan Chan, that...
Long Wangji stops mid-thrust, and Wei Wuxian could just about scream.
Wei Ying, are you okay?
God fucking damn, do that again!
He bites out, digging his nails deeper into Long Wangji's back and clenching down. Ready to do just about anything to feel that again. Longwangji completes the thrust, and Wei Wuxian gasps as his insides light up with pleasure more powerful than he ever knew it was possible to experience. It's nothing like touching himself, feeling Longwangji all around him, being filled up with him, solid and real, and stimulating his every sense into overdrive.
Lan Chan,
he moans, that new, uninhibited side of him starting to take over once more.
You fill me up so well. I don't know how I'll ever be able to live without your cock inside me again.
Long Longji props himself up with one hand on the bed and lifts both of Wei Wuxian's legs straight up, positioning them on his own shoulders. Wei Wuxian keens as the new angle overwhelms him utterly, head flopping to the side, and their reflection in the mirror coming into view. For a moment he is struck into silence by the sheer lewdness of the image, his body bent in half with his feet pointed at the ceiling as Longwangji fucks into him. Staring at their reflection, Wei Wuxian reaches for his almost painfully hard cock, but Longwangji isn't having it. With the smooth, swift movement between thrusts, he manhandles Wei Wuxian onto his lap. Wei Wuxian finds himself looking directly at his reflection in the mirror, back against Longwangji's chest. It's almost too much looking at himself like this. Damp hair flopping over his forehead, neck and chest covered in marks, nipples red and hard, and cock standing erect against his abdomen. His head lolls back as Longwangji holds him with a single hand on his hip and bounces him on his cock. A sudden pressure on his nipple makes his eyes fly open. Longwangji is rolling the hard nub between his finger as he fucks up into him. Wei Wuxian catches Longwangji's eye, staring closely at their joint reflection in the mirror. And the idea of being held in such a position and being looked at so intently has his whole body feeling hot. He looks away, only to have his chin turned back around by Longwangji to look at the mirror again. This time, Longwangji lifts him up with one arm under his knees to hold him up as he fucks him. Wei Wuxian watches himself held up in the air as Longwangji's cock disappears inside him, only to slip out and thrust into him over and over again.
Lan Chan, oh, you can't hold me like this,
he moans wantonly, half out of his mind with dizzying pleasure.
You can't fuck me so well, so mean. You'll have me pregnant on our first night.
Longwangji stops dead for a second as he hears that, and abruptly his thrusts grow harder, faster and messier.
Mui Ying,
he says, voice hitching. Wei Wuxian finds himself pushed down on his hands and knees as he's pounded into from behind.
Lan Chan, Lan Chan,
he cries, teeth chattering from the force of Longwangji's thrusts. He is vaguely aware of the ridiculous things he's saying, but he couldn't care less if only it would make Longwangji keep wrecking him like this.
Use my body just like this. Think I was made to be fucked just by you.
Longwangji's energy seems endless, magnifying with every word Wei Wuxian tells him. He continues to fuck him with incremental force, till even the sturdy wooden bed creaks rhythmically in time with their movements. Wei Wuxian's arms threaten to give way, so he bends lower, reaching out a hand to hold Longwangji's and bring it to his now aching cock. Longwangji threads their fingers together, the intimacy of this simple movement making Wei Wuxian buck and clench around his length inside him.
Mui Ying,
Longwangji exhales and slides out of him again, turns him around till they're face to face and thrusts into him again. Wei Wuxian looks up at him, reaching up to put his arms around his neck and wrap his legs around his hips to bring them as close as it is physically possible to be. Longwangji leans in to kiss him. Just like in his dream, it is Longwangji kissing him that finally sends him over the edge.
Oh, oh,
he cries against Longwangji's mouth. As he thrusts up against his stomach, desperate for friction, Longwangji captures his lips again in a bruising, open-mouthed kiss and reaches between them to stroke his cock. He has barely given it a single tug before Wei Wuxian cries out his name, body arching high against the bed, and comes all over their stomachs. Wei Wuxian falls back down on the pillows as the throes of his release rack his whole body all the way down to his toes. He half thinks he just forgot his own name. And he definitely doesn't realize how hard he clenched down on Longwangji's cock inside him, but he uses the last of his energy to smile dazedly up at Longwangji.
Lan Chan, come inside me.
Eyes never leaving Wei Wuxian's face, Longwangji gives a few last stuttering, haphazard thrusts till his lips fall open in a silent O, and he rides out his climax inside him. Wei Wuxian cannot be too sure if he dreamed up Long Longji getting up a few minutes later, going to the bathroom and bringing a damp cloth to wipe him down. But he does remember him pulling him close to his chest when he comes back to bed and whispering,
"Wei Ying, I love you,"
before he finally drifts off to sleep for real. Long Longji has seemingly endless stamina, Wei Wuxian comes to realize all too well after he's fucked three more times that night. The second time, Wei Wuxian awakes from his post-sex nap to his heart clenching to the sound of a familiar song being played on the piano. When his hazy brain catches up to the raw, aching emotion of it that his heart has answered to even before he fully awoke, he sits up in Long Longji's bed. This time, there are words to it. Wei Wuxian sits in rapt silence and listens to Long Longji singing the song, their song, with words so full of love and longing that he almost cannot stand it. He gets to his feet, uncaring that he is still completely naked. He pads across the cold marble floor and stops at the door. In the attached room, Long Longji sits at the piano, singing as he plays. Wei Wuxian leans against the doorframe and listens. As the song ends, Wei Wuxian walks up behind Long Longji and reaches out to touch his hair. Long Longji looks up at him. With his hair down, he looks unbearably soft.
I didn't know there were words to the song.
It sounds woefully inadequate for all the things he wants to say right now. His eyes feel damp at the corners. Long Longji takes his hand in his own and brings it to his lips.
"Wei Ying," he says.
He kisses each knuckle and up his palm.
"Wei Ying."
He pulls him closer and presses kisses over the soft skin of his wrist.
"Lan Chan,"
Wei Wuxian gasps as Long Longji pulls him in even closer.
"Wei Ying,"
he says as he begins to kiss up his forearm. Wei Wuxian feels dizzy from the kisses as much as the sheer adoration in the way Long Longji says his name.
"Wei Ying."
He pulls an arm around Wei Wuxian's hip as he reaches his elbow, continuing to press now wetter, open-mouthed kisses on his upper arm.
"Wei Ying."
He stands up, taking Wei Wuxian's naked body in his arms and pushing him back against the piano, and continues to kiss him up until his shoulder.
"Lan Chan,"
Wei Wuxian gasps, arching up into his embrace in a smooth bow. Long Longji continues to press him backwards, kissing his chest till he finds his already sensitive nipples. He hitches Wei Wuxian up against the piano to put his mouth on them, sucking and lapping. Wei Wuxian scrambles to climb on him as his knees buckle, hitching his legs up around Long Longji's waist. The next thing he knows, he's trussed up in Long Longji's lap, sitting on his cock with his hands tied behind his back with Long Longji's white hair ribbon, so they wouldn't clang against the piano keys. The third time, Wei Wuxian finds himself in Long Longji's bed again. The lower half of his body feels freshly washed. He wonders if Long Longji Princess carried him to the bathroom to wipe him down, and even after everything that has happened this evening, the thought makes him flush.
"Wei Ying."
He turns to find Long Longji standing by the bed, holding a tray of food.
"Lan Chan,"
he exclaims in delight, crawling over on his hands and knees towards him. He is still sore, but not enough to stop him from provoking Long Longji. And if it leads to him getting fucked wildly for the third time in 5 hours, well, that couldn't be helped, could it? "Am I being wined and dined?" he asks, the picture of innocence as he sits on all fours, head cocked to the side like a cat. He watches with a stab of excitement the way Long Longji's eyes travel slowly over his still naked form.
"Sit down, Wei Ying,"
he says stiffly at last. He lifts up a small wooden table from below the bed and sets it down on the sheets in front of Wei Wuxian. He sets down the tray of food on the table and sits down opposite him. Wei Wuxian eagerly takes off the lids. There is a pot of soup, another of noodles, a third of tea, and a glass of Emperor's Smile.
"Alcohol? In Lan Chan's bedroom? Must be my lucky day."
He takes a swig of the Emperor's Smile and grins widely at Long Longji. Long Longji pours himself a cup of tea. There is the tiniest self-indulgent smile on his face as he looks at Wei Wuxian.
"Wait,"
he says when Wei Wuxian grabs a spoon and dips it into the soup. He turns to bring another smaller tray from the bedside table and set it next to the first. This one contains an array of small jars of every possible spice, sauce, and garnish Wei Wuxian could think of.
Whichever Wei Ying wants, Lang Wangji says, waving a hand over it.
Lan Chan,
says Wei Wuxian, covering his face with his arm. The thought that Lang Wangji would bring him all this just because he enjoys spicy food and Lang Wangji himself doesn't know the first thing about seasoning makes him flush again. He feels utterly spoiled and utterly in love. Heart skittering in his chest as Lang Wangji continues to look at him over his cup of tea, Wei Wuxian goes to town with the spices till the food is palatable. He slurps contentedly, realizing only now how hungry he'd been. It's 11 p.m., the clock over the wardrobe on the opposite wall tells him. 5 hours earlier, he didn't know Lang Wangji had been in love with him for more than 13 years. Once he's finished, he sets the bowls down and leans back on his arms, patting his belly.
Oh, Lan Chan, that was wonderful, he says blissfully. Although I'm glad you're significantly spicier in bed than you are in the kitchen. Oh!
He springs away as Lang Wangji reaches for him, laughing as he moves just out of reach. He jumps off the bed and runs into the corridor, Lang Wangji following moments later to catch him. When he finds himself 10 minutes later facing his reflection in the mirror again from his seat and Lang Wangji's cock on a plush armchair in the corner of the bedroom, he thinks he probably deserved it. The fourth time, it is 5:30 in the morning. Wei Wuxian stretches out on the bed. He scrabbles at Lang Wangji's side and frowns when he finds it empty. The bed is still warm and faintly sandalwood scented, so he must not have been up long. Wei Wuxian rolls over to his side and burrows his nose in the mattress and breathes in. The bed is massive, he thinks, splayed diagonally across it, but still far from the edge. He windmills his arms for a few moments. Then his hand comes across a light blue button-up shirt balled up in a corner. The shirt hangs off his shoulders and skims the edge of his ass. Wei Wuxian watches himself in the mirror, unbuttoning the topmost button, then the next. The way the shirt sits on him, showing off his kissed-marked collarbones and falling straight down his sides, reminds him how much broader Lang Wangji is than him. He walks inside the room and into the corridor. Toes padding softly on the plush carpet-lined floor, he makes his way through the flat. He finds Lang Wangji in the kitchen, wearing only his joggers as he boils water on the stove with his back to the door. Taking a moment to admire the perfect V of his back, Wei Wuxian quietly makes his way across the room. Before Lang Wangji knows he's there, he slips his arms around his waist and presses his face into his back. Good morning, Lan Chan. He smiles and presses a kiss onto Lang Wangji's back. He peeks out over his shoulder and inhales the smell of fresh coffee brewing. It is all so domestic that his chest aches with the acute awareness that he wants every morning ever again to be just like this. Lang Wangji turns around to kiss him. His hands grip his own shirt on Wei Wuxian's body, and he jolts back in surprise.
Wei Ying,
he breathes, his eyes wide as he takes in the way Wei Wuxian's smaller form is enveloped in his clothes. Wei Wuxian blinks innocently up at him, shrugging one shoulder deliberately so the shirt slips clear off on that side.
You, this is my...
He stays frozen in place for a moment, eyes roving over Wei Wuxian's frame, as though he's not sure what to look at first. His collarbones covered in bruising kiss marks, his bare shoulder which has slipped out from the slightly too wide collar, the hem of the shirt that barely grazes his ass. The next moment, Wei Wuxian is being twirled around in Lang Wangji's arm and furiously kissed with his back against the kitchen counter.
Lan Chan, oh...
He cries as Lang Wangji kisses his shoulder and grabs two handfuls of his ass. Lang Wangji, inspiring him to say the most shameless, embarrassing thing, seems to be a thing he is not going to be able to get rid of anytime soon, he thinks hazily, as he starts to babble every desperate thought that comes to his mind.
Do you like seeing me in your clothes? I like being in them too. Like feeling how big you are. Knowing my skin touches where yours has been, smelling like you... Lan Chan, I want to feel you on me every second of the day.
It's all worth it, he thinks, with a purr of satisfaction, as Lang Wangji, bless him, forever responding wonderfully to his lewd words, pulls his joggers down and lines his cock against his entrance.
Lan Chan, will you come in me again? You came in me so many... times already. I must be pregnant already.
He gasps and hikes his leg up around Long Wangji's waist as he's penetrated.
You're so mean, Lan Chan. But I'll give you so many babies. All the babies you want. Lan Chan, I'll want everything with you.
Long Wangji stops dead with his cock half inside Wei Wuxian. His eyes widen, fixing on Wei Wuxian with impossible heat. Then he bends him backwards till he's lying back on the kitchen counter, starting to fuck him in earnest. And there's no coherent thought from either of them again for a while. They go to work together in Long Wangji's white Bentley. Not much has changed. They still bicker, an activity consisting mostly of Wei Wuxian chattering endlessly, often teasing, and Long Wangji giving him the look in response. But now in Long Wangji's eyes sometimes turn fond as he says something particularly outrageous. Wei Wuxian doesn't look away and lets his face flush and his heart thump against his chest and takes in the feeling of being in love with Long Wangji and knowing he is loved right back. They walk to the hospital from the parking area side by side, shoulders bumping together. Soon, Long Wangji reaches for his hand and takes it. Lan Chan, Wei Wuxian mumbles, suddenly flustered at this public display of their newfound relationship.
You've worn my turtleneck today, Long Wangji answers simply.
Wei Wuxian had chosen a black turtleneck with the longest neck he could find in Long Wangji's massive walk-in closet to hide the countless marks on his skin. Deciding that fucking four times in a single night meant he pretty much had free rein over Long Wangji's wardrobe, he had also selected one of his oversized Gucci cardigans in white with red and green trim to layer over it.
And whose fault is that? Wei Wuxian pouts.
How else will people know you're mine? Long Wangji says calmly,
like he was just commenting on the weather.
Lan Chan!
Wei Wuxian gasps, a hand flying up to hide his rapidly reddening face. Long Wangji is a dangerous man, he's swiftly realizing. They are still holding hands when they walk down the cobbled path to the neurosciences block.
ASEAN!
They turn in the direction of the voice. From the coffee stand a little ways away, Yanli is waving at them. Her grin threatens to split her face in two. Next to her, Tiang Cheng stares at them, managing somehow to go red in the face, roll his eyes, and look exasperated, disgruntled, and vaguely relieved. All in the space of 5 seconds.
Hi,
Yanli giggles, unable to control her mirth as they walk towards her and Tiang Cheng.
Wangji,
she smiles, nodding as Long Wangji bows towards her, still holding Wei Wuxian's hand.
Hey, stop walking around campus holding hands,
Tiang Cheng splutters.
And you, he rounds on Long Wangji. When were you planning on asking me permission to date him? I'm his brother, you know.
Long Wangji squares his shoulders and faces him.
Wei Ying is perfectly capable of making that decision on his own.
He moves his hand to grip him tightly around the waist, pulling him closer by his side.
Guys?
Says Wei Wuxian, chuckling nervously as Long Wangji and his brother square off.
Ah Cheng, behave,
Yanli chides, touching her brother's arm. She turns to the others. Did you guys visit Wen Ning yet?
We're heading there now, Wei Wuxian replies. I wonder if Wen Ting will be there too.
That's likely, Yanli says. She hasn't left his side since the surgery. Probably wouldn't have eaten a bite all this time if Tiang Cheng hadn't brought her some cup noodles late last night.
She winks at her brother, nudging him in the ribs.
Hey, why is he allowed to flirt while I can't hold hands with Lan Chan around campus again?
Shut up, idiot. Bet you two weren't up to any good at that hour either.
Wei Wuxian shrugs and looks at Long Wangji.
Well, by then we were probably on round three.
I didn't ask,
Tiang Cheng bellows, red in the face.
God, fuck, get away from me.
He storms off, fists clenched. If he were a cartoon character, there would be steam coming out of his ears. Laughing madly, Yanli waves at Wei Wuxian and Long Wangji and hurries after him.
Lan Chan, let's go see Wen Ning, says Wei Wuxian.
They make their way to the neurosciences building, taking the lift to the ICU on the 10th floor. Wei Wuxian's phone is lit up with messages a good 20 times already since they've entered the campus, at least 18 of them from Nie Huaisong.
What the fuck? What the fuck? What the fuck? What the fuck? Tell me all. By the way, my brother actually didn't say a word when he found out we used his operating room last night. What the fuck goes on?
Once they're outside the ICU, they change into sterile gowns in the changing room by the entrance, donning masks and caps before they enter. Wen Ning's bed is in the very last cubicle. He's asleep, countless monitors and IV lines connected to him. Wei Wuxian remembers his pale, lifeless face as he lay on the operating table. Then his eyes open, and Wei Wuxian has to squeeze Long Wangji's hand to make sure this isn't all a dream.
Wei Wuxian,
Wen Ning says, voice hoarse, slowly but carefully.
Lan Wangji.
Wen Ning. Wei Wuxian disinfects his hand and reaches out to touch his arm.
Hi. Hi,
Wen Ning answers.
Hi,
another voice says from behind them. They turn to find Wen Ting sitting up from her position, curled up on the armchair in front of the bed. Her hair is still a mess, and there are dried tear tracks staining her cheeks, but she looks rested. She walks up to them and hugs them both in turn.
Sorry, but at least I think I messed up your shirt a little less than last time.
She smiles at Wei Wuxian. Her eyes are wet again, but her smile is blinding.
Why don't you go home? Wei Wuxian asks. Lan Chan and I can watch him till our rounds start at least. Don't worry, Sishui is coming over soon, she replies. Do you know they're planning to start An Ning in physiotherapy tomorrow?
That's incredible, Wei Wuxian says.
You guys are incredible.
She walks over to her brother's bed, sprays sanitizer on her hands, and touches his forehead.
By the way, his birthday party is still on.
Really?
Yes, he'll be shifted to the ward by Saturday.
She strokes Wen Ning's hair, smiling adoringly down at him.
We'll have it in his room. Maybe sneak in some cake.
Wen Qing sneaking in cake on post-op day 3?
Wei Wuxian grins, wiping a fake tear from his eye.
Never thought I'd see the day.
Hush, hush, she says.
Didn't you say you were late for rounds?
There's the Wen Ting I missed,
Wei Wuxian says.
Fine, fine, we're leaving.
Saturday afternoon, Ward 3C,
she calls as they make towards the entrance. Wei Wuxian waves back at her. They change out of the ICU gowns into their regular clothes and make their way down the stairs. On the 5th floor, Wei Wuxian suddenly grabs Lan Wangji by the hand and pulls him into an abandoned corridor.
Wei Ying, Dr. Lan will be in 3B for rounds soon,
Lan Wangji says. Wei Wuxian ignores him, pressing him up against the wall, curling his fingers in Lan Wangji's crisp white button-up and kisses him, just because he can.
We've wasted too much time already, he murmurs between kisses. Imagine how many times we could have done this by now.
Lan Wangji puts his arms around Wei Wuxian's waist and kisses him stupid.
We'll make it up to you, Wei Ying.
His eyes shine with conviction.
You said you wanted babies last night. We'll have as many babies as you want.
Lan Chan?
There are some things he said last night that he does not want to hear repeated in the light of day. Besides, he was just horny.
I don't think that's scientifically possible.
The words freeze in his mouth as Long Longji continues to look at him earnestly. All of a sudden, an image of the two of them with a couple of small children running around their ankles enters his brain. His heart squeezes painfully. Maybe.
Would like to court you properly first, though,
Long Longji continues. He takes Wei Wuxian's hands in both of his own.
Saturday night, will you have dinner with me?
Stunned, Wei Wuxian nods. Maybe they were always going to be the couple that did everything backwards. Sex first, date second. Sounded all right to him, as long as there was sex on the cards after the date, too.
We'll talk to Qiang Cheng after that, and your sister, too,
Long Wangji says solemnly.
Really? Qiang Cheng?
Wei Wuxian asks doubtfully. But Long Wangji nods, and that is when Wei Wuxian realizes he is actually 100% serious.
Must ask them for permission, he says. Before I propose to you, a week from now.
Huh?
Wait, did he say propose?
Lan Chan!
And because this is Wang Wangji we're talking about, that is exactly what he does. The end.